Rocky. Oh! Everybody, it's time for a brand new episode of Planned Banter! Oh boy, can you tell my voice is worn out? As always, I'm your host who didn't buy that Back to the Future thing for a second, Richard. The Sorcerer Supreme of the year 2099, because why not? It's Jason.
Jeff, fuck it.
I'd be okay with that.
Building a rocket out of his bathtub. It's Michael.
All right. Yeah, I'll take that.
It's fucking absolutely what he would do, though.
I'd also
sit in that bathtub and fall asleep.
Yeah. It's my happy place.
E-cig. Shorts out in the water.
Not realizing what he's in for when he goes to look at his old high school friend's secret lab out on top of a mountain. It's Chris.
You know, if Kinzel had any high school friends with secret labs, my guess would be meth.
Oh my god.
So today on the show, comics with all new X-Men and Uncanny X-Men and their annuals. Cinderella, Chappie, maybe very briefly about Furious 7, WrestleMania, Trailer Trash with Tomorrowland, Ex Machina, Trainwreck, Inside Out, Pixels, and Aloha.
Hey everybody, you've heard me talk about it in the last couple of weeks, but please be sure to check out Max Toys and Games. If you get a chance to actually come down to Corbin, Kentucky, say be sure to let me know about it, and I'll actually come out and visit you. Kind enough to sponsor us on a lot of our comic book endeavors and reviews for the show. You can follow them on Twitter and Facebook. For both of them, be sure to look them up. They do have great deals and specials. Once again, Max Toys and Games, a big sponsor of Planned Banter. Be sure to check it out.
I'm on spring break, baby.
Oh, yeah? Wait, is it starting this week?
Yes.
Nice.
You should come up and visit.
I'm going to, actually.
Are you going to let us know that you're up here?
No.
I'm going to tell you tonight.
He's telling you right now.
Everything I'm doing right now.
No, he's not going to tell us when.
I'm going to be up throughout most of the middle of the week. I have to be there on Tuesday. I have a star training for bartending and such on Tuesday that I have to go to.
Well, me and Carrie will be over at Blaine and Erica's, you know, like we usually do on Tuesday. So.
Oh, that's on Tuesdays now?
Yeah.
Okay.
You guys can watch Top Gear. I don't know.
Not anymore. We can't.
Oh, yeah. That guy is gone.
They're all gone.
I don't think they're
is
all
he
gone.
Canceled?
No, they're not. Yes, they are all gone.
Oh.
Because the other two, all of their contracts ended in March, the end of March. Okay. And when they didn't bring back, they did not fire Clarkson. They did not renew his contract.
What did the one guy do?
He punched a producer in the face.
Because of what?
England. They couldn't get hot food for him.
Really?
Yep. Granted, they had been filming all day. Everybody was testy. And apparently the producer was a dick, but
well, that took a lot of balls.
Apparently it had been testy. An ongoing
Come
issue
on.
As well.
You said dick, too.
Yeah, dick. There you go.
Yeah, apparently it had been an ongoing issue, but whatever. You know, Clarkson got reprimanded, and then they opted not to pick up his contract. And then
nobody was going to say anything.
I thought he said something offensive about, like, the prime minister or some shit.
Everyone says that.
No, the prime minister actually came out in support of Clarkson.
I know that guy. He's a dick. I'd have punched him too.
Yeah, he's really testy.
At any rate, so the other two did not renew their contracts as well. So now they had performances set up for their Top Gear Live show for Norway and Scandinavia and the rest of Scandinavia. They got canceled. They had already had performances, then tickets were sold, and they had to cancel them. and because the Top Gear name is owned by the BBC. Originally, Clarkson owned the Top Gear name, but a couple of years ago he sold it and still owned partial ownership of it to the BBC for a shit ton of money. But they still had dates in Australia and New Zealand for later on this year, and apparently as of right now, they are keeping those dates, but not under the Top Gear name. They're just calling it Clarkson, Hammond, and May Live for now.
Oh, so you're going to change your Twitter to Clarkson, Mason, and whoever their names are?
I didn't even think about that now. I'm going to have to change my Twitter name.
So they're not just going to do all new, all different Top Gear?
Oh, they will.
Well, here's what's probably going to happen.
His is going to be Doctor of the Who. That's his new Twitter.
Hang on, I'll be right back.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my God, what's going on with Chris?
Now, because Top Gear will go on without Clarkson, Hammond, and May.
Yeah, but no one's going to watch it. Who cares?
Gee, I don't fucking know. I know there was an American Top Gear. People didn't like it.
There were people that Top Gear was a big thing before Clarkson, Hammond, and May showed up.
Not as big.
Yeah.
And how do you get control of the name?
Yeah, it's a great question, Michael.
Well, I don't know. I didn't know anything
about
that.
Ask Mr. Top of the Gear himself when he gets back on from his important phone call.
Hey, did you guys know that there was a Mythbusters based on the A-Team that they showed? Because, man, I was shocked. I thought the A-Team was a fucking documentary.
I'm glad they told us that you couldn't jump from a plane without a parachute and land on your feet.
So... apparently the BBC is looking for ways to possibly keep Top Gear going with new presenters, but keep the same format. And then Clarkson, Hammond, and May are shopping around basically a rival program.
If they're smart, the Speed Network here will hire them for whatever they say.
There's no Speed Network.
No.
Oh, there's not anymore?
It's probably...
FS2.
There's a couple of different ones. There's ITV in Britain. Channel 4 wants them. And the biggest one, from what I'm reading online, is actually shopping through Netflix. That Netflix is just going to pick them up.
God, how much money does Netflix have?
A metric fuck ton.
And how much did I give to them?
A metric fuck ton.
Yeah, no... I was actually saying that to David last night. It was like, I've had Netflix for nearly 20 years.
I had Netflix since it started, yeah.
Yeah, like...
Has it been 20 years?
No, he's saying nearly because it's closer.
Yeah,
it's a little closer to
late
15.
Late 1998. But,
yeah.
I've heard that Daredevil's really good.
Hey, wait,
apparently.
Wait, hold on. Chris.
We've watched five episodes, I think.
Yeah, how did that guy own the name Top Gear?
If the show existed before he was on it.
Yeah.
Well, here's the deal. Top Gear was on throughout a lot of the late 70s, early 80s, and up through the 90s, and he was a presenter on it, not for the whole time, but towards the later years. The show died and was taken off the air for a couple of years, and he purchased the rights to it and brought the show back in the new format.
There we go. All right. Cool.
That's what you saw in 2005-ish.
No, 2002.
I didn't see it.
What? I know you didn't, but you know what I mean.
It was 2002. I was looking it up because I didn't... It said the relaunch was 2002, and it ended in like 98 or something like that.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Well, there you go. That's all I needed to know. Thank you, Chris. The authority on Top Gear, the top of the gear himself.
Yeah. Now I'm going to have to get a new stupid Twitter name.
Last of the Man, Eye of the Zombie. Myth of the Buster.
Did you watch Furious 7 this weekend, Chris?
I didn't get a chance to. I worked Friday and Saturday night.
How did your West 6 thing go at the tap room?
Oh, really good. I kind of wish that it was one of the owners that came down from West 6th, and he was really cool. He got T-shirts for all of us that worked there, brought like 100 of the Belgian blonde glasses for us to give out to customers, so it was really cool. I kind of wish he'd stayed longer. He only stayed till like 6:30. He's like, I got to get home and watch the game. So he kind of left a little early. But we got a lot of free swag, and it went over really well, I think. So
I like swag.
Sweet. I don't.
But so far, things have been going really well there, at least. So,
like, I was cleaning shit out, and all I've just found is all this free shit I got over the years. I just keep in boxes.
Do you have a box just labeled free shit?
Yeah, it's just like a box full of dumb junk that I have.
I still use all my Movie Tavern pint glasses. I make chocolate milk.
I mean, if I had like glasses like that, I'd use them all the time. T-shirts, I'd wear them all the time. I do.
No, I don't wear the t-shirts because I hate how free t-shirts feel. That you know they're free. They itch. They're starchy. What? You don't like quality?
I mean, I don't know. I love my Funny People hoodie.
That's actually the shit you get from movie studios are typically quality, though.
Oh, okay.
Like, those hats were always, like, really nice and slick. I don't wear hats.
Yeah, my Pixar Perfect Projection hats that I have for, like, five movies are pretty nice.
All the shirts I ever got from Regal were super nice shirts.
Those hats I never wear wear hats.
Expensive shirt material. But if you get it, like, at a free event where you go to, like... I don't know. Were you picking up magic cards?
Dirt bike rally or something?
Yeah, it's like, it's going to be a shitty t-shirt. It always is.
Hey.
And it feels like paper.
I mean, I got some nice glasses from Movie Tavern. I remember that fancy Guinness glass I gave John Dennis.
But yeah, I mean, you use the glasses they gave to customers, right?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
For the theme drinks.
That's not even free, Schwag. That's
nobody,
just like...
Nobody came to take me... It was free for me. Take Me Home
That's
Tonight. And Josie was just like, we have like 30 cases of these left. Do you want one? And I was like, yeah, I'll take two.
But he means like... Take Me Home Tonight. If you get one of those little knapsacks that you can pull the string on and it has like Xbox logo on it or stickers or some fucking dumb patch you're not going to put on any jacket you ever own. Like, that's free, Schwag. That's always garbage.
Half the shit we got when we went to C2E2.
Oh, my God. Half of that shit.
Yeah.
Ugh, I have so much of that bullshit.
I still like my Nintendo lanyard I have, though.
Mm-hmm. They did give us an iZombie comic for free there.
Oh, shit. Did they really? I don't even remember that.
Yeah, look it up. You have it.
Probably somewhere.
Imagine just giving it to somebody.
Yeah, and American Vampire number one.
God damn it, Richard. It's like we're like that new 52 Batman number one that they had like 30 stacks of.
Yeah,
like, this is worth nothing, and now it's like a $60.
You
book.
Did you not get those?
Oh, I have it.
Okay, good. Because I have three.
It's probably smashed to crap because I didn't care.
Yeah, I understand that.
It's like, you know, David's missing part of MODOK, and it turns out it's a part I might have two of, and I don't remember if I have it or if I sold it to someone for like a dollar. Because I know I have both Thorbuster Iron Man for some fucking reason and the Destroyer.
Hey, speaking of iZombie.
Thorbuster Iron Man is such a...
Did you guys watch that show?
Watched all three episodes today.
I watched the first one
Holy
last night.
Holy shit.
I've watched the first two. I haven't watched the third one yet.
I'm really digging the show.
It does have a very Veronica Mars feel.
Oh, yeah,
the show is Veronica Mars.
I know that it's because it's the same guy
with
that Jew. Did it, but it's very much Veronica Mars with a girl zombie.
Yeah, it's staged very much like it. Like, the girl's voice even sounds like
it's not
Kristen
quite
Bell.
As noirish as Veronica
That's
Mars
true.
Was.
I will give you that.
But it's, you know, the cast is pretty good. I love the doctor. Dr. Ravi.
Dr. Handsome?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, Richard.
Yeah.
Dr. Ravi's fun.
He's so dreamy.
Yeah, I know.
And the cop.
Take
the
a bite out of those buns.
Cool.
The cop looks like... He looks like somebody. I don't know. It's weird. Didn't he have like a purple suit on in like the first episode?
Mm-hmm. Willy Wonka?
Yeah, well, he's like this tall black guy with like the... He's super red lips to the point where it looks like he's wearing mascara or something. Or not mascara, lipstick. Because that's the thing you put on your lips.
Mascara, yeah.
But he looks like he's like LeVar Burton's cousin or something who happens to really enjoy the color purple. It's very funny.
Take a look.
And then the guy that's the, I guess, main antagonist who you've not met yet.
Nope.
Is a lovable son of a bitch. Is the best.
I like him. I think he's pretty cool. He was on Heroes.
He's a very charismatic character, but he's a piece of shit.
Who was he on Heroes?
He was also
Mo Hinder.
He was also on
The Fly.
He was also on Once Upon a Time. He was Frankenstein in Once Upon a Time.
Hang on, I'll get his name.
It's not a Disney movie.
I don't make the rules.
Apparently, they don't either.
Universal's pissed.
And apparently, the girl that plays Liv Moore was Tinkerbell on Once Upon a Time.
Is Liv Moore the main girl?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Her name is Olivia Moore, but
her cousin is Liv Less. You don't like that? Come on, Michael. This is shit you'd love.
But it wasn't good.
It was good.
No, it really wasn't.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I liked the first episode. I have to admit I have zero familiarity with the comic whatsoever, other than knowing that Chris Roberson wrote it and Michael Allred drew it.
Yep, the same here.
But
David Anders is his name.
David Anders.
Who was he on Heroes? I don't know.
Hang on.
The fuck?
He was Takezo Kensei. He was the guy that they the Japanese guy traveled back to Japan. He was the white guy that they found.
He was the white guy in feudal Japan whenever Hero went back in time.
Oh, God.
Of course he was.
Oh, God. What did I watch? Yeah, okay. That happened.
You watched Shogun.
Oh.
By James Clavell.
Sure.
But, yeah, I really dig the show, iZombie.
It's funny. I think it's good.
It's a fun show. Really enjoyed it. You know, CW's...
not on the ball.
CW's on the ball for me. I'm loving The Flash. Every episode I have thoroughly enjoyed.
he tortures me
well,
with this show.
While I've still watched The Flash, and I still have enjoyed what I have seen, I still like Arrow better.
I like Arrow from what I've seen, but I like The Flash better. And I guess it's just how they decided to do it, because Arrow is thematically darker and The Flash is thematically a little bit lighter.
Dude, Arrow, from what I understand, is just fucking Batman.
Oh, it is.
Like, that's the show.
He is. He's pretty much Batman.
It's Batman, the TV series.
Guess who he's fighting this season? Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah, that's what someone told me. And I was like, it sort of sounds like fucking Batman. And they were like, actually, yes.
Well, that's the only
and
way
the
you
Adam
can make...
is Iron Man.
That's the only way you can make Green Arrow presentable to people. Just make him Batman. That's how it's been forever.
It's hilarious,
well, that's how
though.
He was in the Golden Age.
Yeah, man. Yeah, exactly.
It's hilarious, though, because apparently the Flash teaser for the rest of the season spoiled a big Arrow storyline.
Oh, yeah, what? Felicity really Smoke's moving in or some shit?
No,
everyone's favorite character, apparently.
Apparently, midway through this season...
I don't fucking know.
Midway through this season, Ra's al Ghul said, I want you to run the League of Assassins to Ollie. And nobody knows...
He wanted him to become the new Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah, he wanted him to become the new head of the League of Assassins. Nobody knew what he was going to do. Ollie's in League of Assassins clothing.
Gasp!
In the crossover episode that's coming up.
Yeah, 2-in-1 season, huh?
Well, now...
No, 3-in-1 season.
Yeah, and now we've got... And now we've got the third show in that series that's coming out.
Yeah, Katie told me there's a spinoff of the spinoffs. Are there 4 shows, or did she mean that this new show is a spinoff of The Flash? And
well,
The Flash is a spinoff
the new
of
show is a spinoff of both The Flash and Green Arrow.
Okay.
Because it is going to have Adam...
So there's not a spinoff of the show that's going to have Professor Stein and the Atom in it?
No.
That's the show.
It is going to have the Atom, Professor Stein.
Well, Flash is a spinoff of Arrow.
Right.
Yeah.
The Atom.
Well, he was on Arrow first.
I know. It just seems like such a tenuous connection.
Well, I mean, that's like Maud. I mean.
Yeah, fair enough.
So.
Maud!
We've got the Atom. Yeah. So you've got the Atom, Professor Stein, Rip Hunter, Hot Girl, and allegedly Robbie Amell is going to show back up, but apparently he's going to be more on Flash and Stein's going to be more on the new show.
Who's Robbie Amell?
He's the other half of Firestorm, which probably means that they're going to do like how the New 52 came
in. I didn't
in.
Even know that. No, watch the fucking show.
Which probably means they're going to do like what the New 52 does and have them both be able to be Firestorm without having to combine.
Hmm.
That's different from most of the beginning, because they that
right,
was a whole big story.
Super fucking dumb.
Well,
but
they split up. They split up, and it's there. It makes sense in how the show worked. So if they opt to go that route, now I don't know. Maybe Robbie Amell's just going to be doing double time on both The Flash and the new show. But
sounds like Firestorm's going to be Get a Robo at one point.
But yeah, I'm pretty excited because, you know, we get Rip Hunter in a show. I mean, that's cool.
Yeah, what the fuck are they going to do in this show that it has a TV budget with a time traveler and a guy who can change carbon into glass? Like,
CG is super cheap.
And these shows are making tons of money. I mean, the
CG is super
tons
cheap
of money.
Oh yeah, you don't have to tell me. Like, people wouldn't wipe their ass with that previous Turtles movie are on board this sequel because they cast Arrow as Casey Jones. They're like, I'm really excited for that now, and I'm like, really? That's all it took? Yeah,
yeah. So if I were a criminal in Central City, I would just have that. I would have Vibe make me a gun that could make silver instead. I would make my own coins and make my own printing press. Or I could just have him make plates.
The gold gun, yeah.
Yeah, I could have him make plates so I could print money on top of it instead. A gun that made paper money. What's stopping us now?
Well, you said that, Jace, like a couple of episodes back. You said that was going to be the gimmick, is everyone's going to have guns.
Everyone's
going to
have guns. Everyone's going
to
have guns.
I just didn't think it would apply to Golden Glider.
Yeah, I know. She's going to have guns. Michael
she's
said
got a gold
that,
gun.
What did you say? That, like, she's going to shoot herself in the foot with the golden gun,
yeah,
and
maybe.
That's how she's Golden Glider.
Is the name of the episode she's in the girl with the golden gun?
No.
That would be amazing, actually. That would
it was
be
called
amazing.
The Rogues.
Boo.
I know, right? Yeah.
Boo! Yeah.
They
missed
wasted
opportunity.
It. Yeah, they wasted it.
Well, I mean, but think about it. Mirror Master's got a gun. Heatwave's got a gun.
That's what I'm saying. That was what I'm saying. Everyone now is going to have a gun.
Weather Wizard, yeah. I think he ended up stealing the wand.
He didn't yet, but he's going to get that wand.
Yeah, he'll get that wand. And then
it'll be a wand.
They made
gun.
A wand that, it sucks up and shoots out weather energy.
Well, no. No. It dissipates the ionization.
Yeah,
so.
But then you could just shoot it back out. That's just reverse engineering. Oh, okay. This is fucking pseudoscience. What's the difference?
And then, I'm looking forward to Mirror Master to show up.
Turtle's going to show up and have a slow gun.
fucking Curly Grodd's gonna show up.
Have a banana gun.
Yeah.
Oh man, Grodd! I can't wait to see Grodd. Grodd looks pretty awesome.
You just slip on the way. Whoa! Kevin James is fighting Grodd.
Why didn't Kevin James voice Curly
Grodd? God damn it! It's another missed opportunity. They could have come to us about this.
Yeah, David told me he had to admire how the show is totally balls out because they're using Gorilla Grodd. He's like, I would never watch it, but it's pretty neat. I saw the clip.
I'm enjoying the hell out of it. It's been a fun show.
The clip is very funny because, like, the way they show Grodd, he looks like Professor Honeydew's gorilla detector from the Muppets.
Oh, speaking of the Muppets. Speaking of the Muppets.
Awesome.
Did you hear about the new Muppet Show?
I did, and my heart kind of stopped there for a second because it's from the executive producer of The Big Bang Theory, and I'm like, oh, God.
Oh, God.
Oh, God, why? Why, God,
do you,
why?
Do you know why?
But then I looked him up, and apparently he used to write for Henson Beck before he died.
Yeah,
so I'm like,
and
okay.
And he also gets shows on the air.
Well, yeah, but that's not an indicator of quality at this point. Well, we did just mention Big Bang Theory.
If it has the humor of Big Bang Theory, I won't laugh once.
But he's
I'm not kidding. I've never laughed at that
he's
show.
He's not writing.
The
it's,
only parts
and
of
the,
it I've seen are like the parts with the main guy, and he's just so cruel to
the
that
showrunner.
Girl, I can't
the
laugh.
Showrunner
I can't
was somebody big,
it.
Too. Hang on. Because the showrunner was the one I was more interested in that was involved with it.
It's not the 2.5 Men guy?
No.
No, that's... Chuck something or another.
Oh, Chuck Lorre, yeah.
Lorre, that's the guy. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of not surprised this is happening because Muppets Most Wanted sort of tanked because nobody watched it.
Nobody watched it.
Like, even David was like, I'm ashamed to admit I haven't seen it myself.
I watched it.
Even though I
What'd you think, Chris?
I didn't like it at all.
Oh, Chris.
Really?
I didn't think it was funny. Well, I mean, it had its funny moments, but it was nowhere compared to the first one.
I don't know. I guess it's just like
it's just
you
and I,
and
man.
You that
yeah,
like this one because like Zach on A&N said it was like one of the worst movies he saw last
yeah,
year.
Yeah, I just don't get it.
My sister said she thought it was boring.
I thought it was good, and I love and Mary didn't really care for it that much.
I mean, I don't know.
I thought the songs were great. I loved the songs, like all of them. I thought they were better songs than the previous movie as well. I don't know. I just don't know.
Maybe it's the Ricky Gervais effect. I don't know.
He turns everything into shit. Yeah.
Bob Cushell or Cushell.
Hey, what's this dude done?
Third Rock from the Sun.
Oh no.
I could take that either way, frankly.
So you're saying he needs a job?
Yeah, Bill Prady and Bob Cushell, and then exec produce and direct is Randall Einhorn, who's the guy who did Wilfred.
Oh no.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, never mind, I'm scared again. I kind of forgot about the Wilfred part.
Oh, God, Wilfred. Ugh.
Did you ever watch any Wilfred?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't. I just saw the commercials and I was like, this is a really thin gag.
Yeah, yeah, I did. I did. Yeah, yeah. It's two episodes. It's like, well, that's the show.
Yeah, it's just comedic Summer of Sam. Or comedic Son of Sam, yeah. I'm sorry. Not Summer of Sam, the Spike Lee movie that's about the Son of Sam.
That would be great.
But
that's another Spike Lee movie I enjoyed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I like that movie.
There haven't been many.
We were just talking about that.
Yeah, ironically, because...
I was
in Target, and there was like a Spike Lee four classic films pack or something, and it was like...
There were four?
Yeah, it was like... It was Do the Right Thing, of course, and Jungle Fever, which is the one where I was like, yeah, no. And then maybe Inside Man and something else.
I liked Inside Man, and I liked 25th Hour.
I like 25th Hour as
25th
well.
25th Hour is great, yeah.
That's about it.
I like... Yeah, Summer Sam, I really like that.
I like School Days.
I like...
Hey, I know it's not on our trailer list, but did you guys see the trailer for that movie Southpaw?
Yes. Nope. Yes.
What is it?
It's Anton Fuqua, or Fuqua, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. And it's got Jake Gyllenhaal, Rachel McAdams, Forrest Whitaker, and he's a boxer that's like this top-of-the-world boxer fighting for the championship, and then his wife gets shot in like one of those, you know, like classic Vegas beef scenes between two boxers and somebody pulls a gun, and his wife dies, and he loses custody of his kid, and he has to like fight his way back kind of thing.
Yeah. They tell you the entire story in the trailer.
Oh, yeah, they tell you the whole thing in the trailer.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
But Jake Gyllenhaal looks insane in this movie.
Hmm.
Like, the pictures of him, like, how in shape he got for it looks insane.
In the membrane.
Indeed, in the membrane.
Well, he wants people to remember he exists again, like...
Yeah, Antoine Fuqua, director of King Arthur.
Yep.
Tears of the Sun.
I don't know if I've ever actually seen an Antoine Fuqua movie.
Did you watch Tears of the Sun?
I did not. I heard it was
Olympus
very
Has
average.
Fallen.
Training Day?
I did not
and
watch
I
Training
did like
Day.
Shooter. Shooter is a good movie.
Haven't seen Shooter. I didn't see The Equalizer, even though people said it was really good.
People did say it was really good.
He is doing The Magnificent Seven.
And why?
He's doing all the...
It's got... Listen to this. So here's the cast.
It's King Arthur.
It's in pre-production.
Yeah, I mean,
the cast for it is Chris Pratt, Denzel Washington, Ethan Hawke, Vincent D'Onofrio, and Haley Bennett. I don't even know who that is. The Equalizer. Hmm. Hmm. Oh, and Marley and Me. Oh, I still don't know who she is.
Is she one of the Magnificent Seven, or is she just in it?
It doesn't give character names. It just...
Is it going to come out the month before The Hateful Eight?
Maybe. Maybe.
I mean, that's cool. There's a Western... I wish they were just making a wet, like, I mean, whatever, that's fine. I'll just take Lone Ranger and, you know, sit on my, like, crazy fucking mountain where, you know, I eat eagle's eggs all day and fucking, like, try to keep the sun out of my face, you know?
The fuck are you talking about?
Because he thinks he's the only, like, you know, you guys are the only ones that actually like the movie. Yeah,
David likes it, too, thank you.
I like it. I thought it was great.
Robert also likes it.
Michael loved it.
And Jordan and...
I was laughing my ass off during that movie.
I came home.
Jordan and
like,
John Barnett also like it as well.
Maybe I just need to watch it again.
Did you not like it, Chris?
I thought it was okay. I wasn't blown away.
Well, before you watch it, take the stick out of your butt.
Oh, okay.
I don't know about that. I mean, there's a fair argument that movie's probably a little bit too long. But I mean, I love it, and I'm totally okay with there being a movie that's just for me.
I think it's great. I I'm fine. Yeah, exactly. I'm fine with it. Like, I'll take that Speed Racer. I'm good.
What's his face?
I mean, it's not like a tragic loss of potential that like John Carter is, where it's like agonizing.
Yeah,
like a fucking piece of my soul dies that Ready Player One is getting a movie, but we can't get a John Carter 2. That's the world we live in.
God, I know.
No. Ready Player One's getting a Steven Spielberg movie.
I know. Like, and that's the thing. It's like, I'm glad there are no guns in my house, because that was like a dark moment. Like, it was just like, man, it literally does not get worse than this. Like, it would almost be better if he died before he could make it. I would take that trade off. Like, for me.
Okay,
I know,
let's
not
go
Jace.
That far.
Hey, I'll take it as far as it needs to go. I'll take it to the summit of the fucking mountain or whatever they said in that review for Boyhood that made me laugh so hard. Like, oh my God, I can't believe that. Like, my heart just sank.
That was unbelievable news. I was like, is it fucking April Fool's already? That seems like an April Fool's joke.
You know, like...
Well, speak of another thing that's a little bit less serious, just so Richard doesn't, you know, keep thinking about suicide. I saw something that I thought was an April Fool's joke, and it's really not. It's a real thing that's happening.
What is that?
Amazon has got what they call...
Oh, that button thing?
The dash button.
That's real?
It's real, and I've signed
up
for it.
Oh, man, I'm
going
to go to someone's house and order
Michael,
550 fucking mac and cheeses
need?
Or whatever.
Well,
like
no,
they
so here, here's the...
You need a dash button for it.
Here's the...
I know you don't need diapers, not yet.
No. It needs detergent.
So, yeah,
detergent and macaroni.
That much detergent, Michael?
and toilet
I'll take
paper.
The macaroni.
We always
toilet
need toilet
paper.
Michael.
Michael
always needs toilet paper.
What is it? It's like a drone delivering fucking cheesy mac
so
to your doorstep.
So what it is like you have this little button, you program it, and it connects up to the Wi-Fi and shit. Whenever you're running low on shit, you just hit the button, and it automatically puts an order for free two-day shipping, because you have to be a Prime member for that particular product.
They're trying to run grocery stores out of business now.
Also selling Blu-rays exclusively for Prime members?
Yep.
Oh, really? Like what?
Like Interstellar.
This is perfect for crack.
You can't buy it on Amazon unless you have Prime.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant that there were ones only available, period. Like it was some movie that you couldn't get elsewhere.
I thought you meant that you had to buy one of these stupid buttons to get Interstellar.
They're really trying to break their fingers in order to get people to get Prime, huh?
Yeah.
You're like, hold on, let me send you a button, then you can order Interstellar with it. It's my Interstellar one-time-only button.
I mean, Prime has a ton of features I don't use, like the instant video part, because you need
I use the instant video more before, but I have used it several times.
If I was the main account holder, I would.
She only uses Amazon.
Do you want me to be honest? When I stopped using the instant video,
mm-hmm.
is when they took Degrassi off.
Fucking nerd.
I'm not the actual account holder for my Prime account, so I don't get any of like the Prime exclusives, so I can't watch like the Americans or whatever, which irritates me.
Hey, I'll tell you what was good was that The Man in the High Castle was really good.
Yeah, and it got picked up for a series.
It did, yeah.
Which one is that?
It's the one about the alternate future. It was the Philip K. Dick story about the Nazis had won.
Who's in it? People?
Nobody really big. Let me look it up.
Who directed it? Who created it? Who shot it? Who produced it?
Give me a second.
It's an Amazon Prime show. I've yet to watch any of them. I kind of meant to watch Alpha House just because I like Gary Trudeau.
I'm very excited about Daredevil this weekend.
This
DJ Qualls is in it.
DJ Qualls?
Oh, well, that's a fucking must watch. Let me see it.
And there's a guy named
the hell's he up
Klein
to?
Tank. He was on a bunch of episodes of Bones, Person of Interest.
Ugh.
He's done a lot of TV.
Oh, man, that's some quality right there.
Yeah.
I've never watched Person of Interest. Have you guys ever?
My dad really likes it.
I assume it's just a procedural show, just based on the name.
No.
Yeah, but it's a CBS procedural.
Is it the J.J. Abrams show?
The one
I did watch
that's
it. Never
the
mind.
One with AI.
Yeah, I watched
that's
that.
That's the Jonathan Nolan show.
Yeah, the one that predicts the crime and all that shit.
Yeah, I watched that. I watched that.
Yeah, but more importantly, it's a CBS procedural show. Those are totally different than any other network because they're geared towards...
old people.
Yes.
Yeah. Mandy Patinkin, yeah.
Criminal Minds. But
although, ironically, one of the teachers at the high school... shows Criminal Minds in her. She has a social psychology class. And the kids love Criminal Minds. I can't explain it. I can't. I can barely
these
get them to watch
kids today and their Criminal Minds.
No. I can get them to. They like Law and Order because I show Law and Order sometimes in my Law and Justice class.
Ew.
Certain episodes that like actually pertain to what we're talking about.
What about Hill Street Blues?
Now let me ask you a question. This
Hold
is
on,
very,
no. Now, let me finish really quick. But I can't get them to watch like The West Wing at all. They think it's boring.
Hey. Well, it probably is.
So whenever
you can't tell me that Criminal Minds is better than The West Wing.
Whenever the kids are watching Law and Order as a class, do they make the dunk dunk sound whenever
no,
it happens?
No, no, I can't. I'm,
damn it!
Not yet.
Is that what people do?
That would be really
it
cool.
It should be. If there were any such thing as Law and Order viewing parties, that's what would happen.
I'm gonna stop showing that and only show Night Court.
There you go.
God, fucking shit! That's Michael's dream.
I've always wanted to go to class and watch Night Court.
Yes. Oh, Skype me in as
an episode analysis.
I can be an expert witness. Yes.
Does Daredevil go up Thursday night at like 11:59 p.m.? Or does it go up Friday in the evening?
I watched the other show.
It's
I don't have
10th.
Time for this.
What is the 10th? Is that
it's
Thursday
a Friday.
Friday. It goes up Friday at midnight.
So 12:01 a.m.
Yeah. I've only watched like 5 or 6 episodes of that fucking other show. I'm not ready for this one.
What other show is that?
The one, Kimmy Schmidt.
Oh, Kimmy Schmidt.
Oh, you got to finish that, man.
I'm trying.
It's only like 22 minutes. You can finish that shit tonight.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. I really like that show, Jace.
I know. I haven't.
So you don't. So you still don't know who the preacher is?
I guess not.
Yeah, you better get on that road quick because people are going to spoil the shit out of that.
It's great.
I feel like it is he pretty entertaining.
Up at one point.
You see the back of his head, okay. But I don't think that's him as okay. The actual actor.
Okay.
It's yeah. Pretty great.
I mean, it's just like. I mean, it's just like. You just laugh or you don't.
Yeah, I totally agree.
It's hard. I mean, it's hard.
Apparently, the show is 30 Rock.
And usually, Jason don't.
Yeah, but it's like, it's 30 Rock if it were all about Kenneth, and I would just.
But Kenneth, everyone said, was everyone's favorite character.
Yeah, but that's not me.
Hey, I did watch that Life Itself about Roger
the
Ebert.
Ebert documentary?
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
Yeah, I meant to watch that sometime.
Yeah, I recorded it off of TV 2 months ago because watching any movies on my DVR is an impossible dream along the lines of the building the fucking spruce goose. Like I haven't.
Well, now you don't have
to.
It's on Netflix.
Get in.
I said get in, Smithers.
But it was really good.
Yeah. I don't know.
Really, really good.
I'm slowly dwindling away what I have left. I finally caught up on Gotham and how utterly stupid and ridiculous it is.
Did you watch all your Say Yeses to the Dresses?
I did not.
Oh, sorry.
They're still sitting
there. You're still sitting there ready to go.
You know, that and House Hunters.
House Hunters, huh? Yeah. Oh, God, some other show that you happen to watch sometimes when it's on.
What about Chopped?
Wait, House Hunters or House Hunters International?
I don't know. It's just sometimes like he's it's like 2 a.m. He's like, this chick on House Hunters is super cute.
See, I was like, what the fuck? I would be more interested in House Hunters International because then you'd have Booster Gold and Blue Beetle and Fire and Ice and
yes,
Gnort.
I mean, you know, whatever. It's like sometimes I'll just leave the Weather Channel on because I'm waiting for the show.
This Weather Girl is adorable. Yeah. What's her name? I mean, I'm sure she's on their site.
Yeah, you know. I mean, whatever. None of them are Melissa Nord, local news or weather girl on ABC.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she's adorable.
You love Gintama.
She is.
Yes, that's my favorite joke in Gintama. Because he always has crushes on the weather girl. Yeah. And I'm like, it's true to life.
Yeah, true to life. I get it, man.
So, Kinzel and Richard, y'all missed a good WrestleMania.
Oh, this Melissa Nord is super cute.
It's N-O-R-D for everyone playing at home.
I had to look it up. I was curious.
Just one letter away from big old nerd. You didn't think I was going to say nard.
LEX18, people. Look it up.
Oh, she's on NBC, not ABC.
Yeah.
I don't know. She's
LAX-18 is ABC.
Oh, okay.
No, it's not. It's NBC.
That was 36.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I know she's on the gas pump at Shell's because they have, like, local news piped into their the top of their gas pump.
This is NBC. I'm sorry.
That was the first one. CBS is WDKY.
Or WKYT.
CBS is WKYT.
That's the one. WDKY. That's the Fox.
WDKY is Fox.
Sorry.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. You all missed a good WrestleMania.
Yeah, so I hear. I had real life stuff to do, sadly. What?
WrestleMania's real life, Richard.
It was real life stuff. I promise.
Ronda Rousey made an appearance. Everybody went crazy.
Samoans were pissed about the end.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Roman Reigns' dad was a fucking
He was, like, getting ready to... Well, because what happened, there was this whole big push that Roman Reigns was going to be the champ, and everybody thought he's not ready. And the big question...
nobody cares.
And nobody cared, and he was getting booed all the time. And the big question mark was Brock going to re-sign? Well...
the win.
That was freaky. The week before WrestleMania, Brock
was doing that all yesterday.
Brock Lesnar signed a 3-year contract with WWE. He announced it on SportsCenter.
He went on and said it's full time pay for part time money.
I'm here for 3 years.
And then he broke a table with his face.
No, not yet. Not SportsCenter. He was like, it's full time money for part time work.
Yep.
Just like everyone wants, but you can't have it. Only I can. So stay away.
And I'm taking my talents to the WWE.
Yeah.
And he's done with UFC.
And this motherfucker went and beat the shit out of Roman Reigns and slapped him in the face. And then gave him all these suplexes and just said, Suplex City, bitch. And so now that's the thing.
Yeah.
It is everywhere. They really remade Rack City with it. So it's Suplex City. Bitch.
Rack City. Okay.
When you were telling me.
Yeah. And it was a good match. You know, the idea was that Roman was going to take a beating from Brock Lesnar and still win. But then Seth Rollins cashed in his Money in the Bank, curb stopped them, and pinned Roman Reigns.
Which Money in the Bank is, if you climb a ladder, you can cash in anytime.
It's a contract. It's an automatic contract to win the belt.
Yeah, so that's what I always wish CM Punk would have done when I was watching.
He made for
the one time you saw a cash in was Randy Orton. On Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
That was bullshit.
The first time that the Money in the Bank has ever been cashed in at WrestleMania. And interesting backstage stuff. The Ronda Rousey Rock thing happened. There were two matches after that. And
they're not even in the movie together.
No. But there were two matches after that. And apparently Seth Rollins just found out that he was going to win the belt at that point in time in the night. And then whenever he pinned Roman Reigns, you can see the cameras up close enough to him. He says, "Thank you, brother."
Aww.
But
TYB.
But
now kiss.
The Samoan family that was there for Rikishi's induction in the Hall of Fame and to see Roman win the belt were very pissed off, and
they feel like their family's gone through a lot of shit. They needed this.
Yeah.
Kesey was wearing a big thong and sticking his ass in people's faces. And they're all racial stereotypes wrestling all the time. They finally get this good-looking regular dude, and they won't even give him the belt.
I didn't think anyone wanted him to win, because remember where I heard PJ Pants guy talking about Roman Reigns? I was like, who the fuck's that?
Yeah, he's...
Well, I'm sure kids like him, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he'll get there, maybe. But
you don't see anyone in a Roman Reigns shirt, right?
I don't know if I see anyone in a Seth Rollins shirt. I wouldn't know what to look for.
Yeah.
But
he's a bad guy, though.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, he's a bad guy.
Oh, he's a massive heel.
Was he one of the other guys in the Shield?
Yes, he was.
What happened to the third guy?
He is probably going to be going with... he was in a ladder match and it looked like he died. he got slammed through a ladder. The ladder was from the ring to the rails.
He's Vince McMahon, the wrestler.
And he got power bombed into it, and it broke the ladder in half. Jesus. And you like people, oh, he's dead. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
In the time we were gone, like, there's been quite a bit of stuff that came out. Chris, do you have time to watch Chappie? Anyone watch Chappie besides me and Jace?
I didn't get a chance to, no.
Boy, it disappeared quick. Like, in the period of it being out 2 weeks and me going on vacation and coming back, like, it had left theaters. It was out for 2 weekends.
Gone forever.
Yeah, I mean, that was quick. I don't know if I've, if, like, man, like, that's, like, that's a fast fade. Not, like, I mean, that's, like, Mumford fast, which is, like, you know, like, you always think of that one movie you saw that, like, nobody else saw and you were a totally empty theater. And it opened at, like, $0.2 million. Well, Chappie opened at, like, 13 or something, but it disappeared just as quick as those movies typically do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is too bad, because it's not a terrible movie.
It had a lot of potential.
You know? Like, I don't know. Like, I can't remember what his percentage on Metacritic is, but it had something like, I don't know, like a 30% on Rotten Tomatoes, which, yeah, no, I don't know about that. It seems that people were taking out, like, the reviews they should have given Elysium on this. Because Elysium kind of skated to, like, some okay reviews.
Yeah, people were
like,
all right with it.
2.5 stars, 3 stars, you know.
People like, just fucking...
But, like, every chat review is, like, a 0.5 star, 1 star.
Yeah, tore a new asshole. And, I mean, there were some horrendous parts to it, but there was also some good parts to it. And I believe that it was unfairly maligned for its good parts. As in, Chappie itself was an entertaining, good, fun character.
Yeah,
and
I like Chappie
really like him
himself.
A lot. He's great.
Oh, man. The movie's very frustrating because you could see where it, like, you know, man, this really could have been great. And then, you know, D'Antwerp or whatever show up, or D'Antwerp.
Yeah.
And, like, boy, they have fucking zero charisma.
So,
like,
Chappie
I'm sure they're fine stage performers, but as actors, they are just, like, utterly repugnant.
No, you can't. That doesn't
zero sympathy
every time.
For them.
Yeah.
You don't care about anything they do or anything they say or anything that's happened to them because they're such awful people in the respect that, like, you just don't care about them. Oh, man. What the fuck was he thinking? I don't know. I really don't.
Want to add an extra flavor of South Africa to it.
I guess.
South Africa.
South Africa.
It's funny, I'd never heard him speak, but have you guys ever seen Neil Blomkamp in an interview?
Yeah, I have.
Boy, he sounds super American.
Yeah, he does.
He just sounds like a dude.
Sure, because he wants to make money.
I mean, fair enough. I don't know if he's putting on an accent or what, but, I mean, holy crap, he's very convincing. I mean, maybe he was born there and, like, you know, he was here for, like, 10 years and then moved back, or I don't know. Like, but there's a shot in Chappie, like, when he's getting to, like, you know, fight with the ED-209 ripoff or whatever, where he comes out, of, like, from behind a door, and he's got, like, his shotgun and his ammo belt on, and it goes into slow motion, and it's very cool, because it's, like, seeing, like, you know, like, a 1980s science fiction painting brought to life in this very distinct way that I've never seen anything do that. And if the rest of the movie could have lived up to that potential, I would have really loved it. Like, it would have been incredible.
I agree. I mean, there was a lot of... the movie had a ton of potential. It's just... I don't know if Simon Kinberg's name was on it. Although, it was later, but we'll talk about that.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second.
But anyway, there was a lot of hindrances in this film.
But
that,
ironically, like another Simon Kinberg movie we watched... X-Men Days of Future Past, it's a movie that when we went to eat afterwards, we automatically thought of about 500,000 different ways that the plot could have been streamlined. The movie would have made a million times more sense.
Yeah,
the story
every
would have been
time.
Better.
Every time.
Like, character arcs would have made more sense. Like, they didn't need to be a competing technician. They could have both developed Chappie, and that's where the conflict comes from. Because, like, the ED-209 ripoff robot is ultimately incredibly pointless and, like, just absolutely ancillary and, like, the most... stupid way where it's like, well, we needed something for him to fight.
Yeah, I mean, you can't just have like a Chappie clone or whatever.
Evil Chappie.
Yeah, exactly. Just
what was the evil Johnny number 5?
I think it was Johnny 4.
Was it Johnny 4?
No, well,
I don't remember.
They didn't call them Johnnies.
It was just 1 through
J-N-Y.
4. No, it was...
It does have a lot in common with Short Circuit. Though,
yeah, but that was 1, 2, 3, and 4 were the robots.
Yeah, they were the antagonist robots that he had to blow up at the end.
Those were cool, though. You just fucking had that laser cannon on his shoulder.
Laser cannon.
Fucking baller. Blew that shit right up.
I love Short Circuit and Short Circuit 2. I love those movies. But,
well, this was no Short Circuit.
I don't know. They go into a place I wasn't expecting to take it that far to.
And
at the same time, it is kind of akin to something else he's done.
Like, I liked his relationship with the two criminals. It's just they were such terrible actors that it was hard to get through the scenes. They're just like, oh my god, I just don't believe you, but Jesus Christ, this CG robot and
and totally mechanical buying parts into this like, CG robot.
He's completely realistic, and these human beings are like wooden and horrifying.
So he's more human than human.
It's the very first thing I said when the credits were rolling. I was like, man, Jappy. Felt more like a person than most of the other characters.
Absolutely.
In the movie.
How was
Dev Patel?
Yes.
Oh, he's good. Like, Hugh Jackman wasn't great in it, but he didn't have a great role.
Well, I heard
play.
That Hugh Jackman was a very one-dimensional villain.
Oh, he's like hilariously everything nerds are supposed to hate because he's like a jock who goes around strapping a pistol on his hip that he doesn't keep loaded, of course, because why would he?
Yeah, why? Oh.
And
I go to
like,
church.
He'd come to church with me sometime or come work out with me sometime, Dev Patel. Like, it's hilarious how over the top that is, and
come
like
work
how
out
like,
with me, bro.
Yeah, like it's very much like, come on, bro, chill out, bro. Tell me like how you got your machine to work, bro. He's like a military dude who has like a giant Hummer and shit. Like it's very funny.
Gotcha.
It's hilariously constructed in like this utterly stupid way. I mean, not as dumb as anything in Elysium, but what could be? I mean, really?
Because he's oh my god. He's an engineer, but he's so terrible at it that his robot's a big, ugly machine piece of shit.
Yeah, the ED-209 and I that flies.
Yeah.
But Simon Kinberg's name was also on Cinderella, as directed by Kenneth Branagh. I don't know if this Branagh is an established enough director to give him the double bird and say, get out of my movie, you asshole, or what. Because that actually turned out to be pretty good. I was very surprised when Jace
Cinderella,
told me that.
Yeah, Cinderella, I saw it before Richard, and then I was like, I got to tell you, man. It was pretty good.
You need to watch this.
Yeah,
I'm
it's
like,
pretty
really?
Entertaining. It was like, oh my, no. It was really.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, man, I swear. This movie is really entertaining.
No winner's bone, I promise.
Yeah, it's not a winner's bone. I swear this is a real movie. I'm not winner's boning you here, all right? This is a real movie. This is good. This is entertaining. And it really was. I recommend anyone to watch it. Anybody can watch this movie. Unless, I guess, you hate anything that doesn't have explosions, then whatever. But
there's an explosion in it. The pumpkin blows up.
The pumpkin does blow up, yes, but it's a pumpkin blowing up, so.
Like,
there's that.
What, Jace, you said that it was, like, easily the best of the live-action Disney adaptations.
Yes.
Even though you haven't seen
it. Apparently
it's Alexa, a big thing now.
But I can't imagine it actually being better than this.
Oh, Lord, no, Maleficent is not.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, this
like Alice in Wonderland is like a terrible fucking movie, and I think people are finally coming around to that.
I'm counting Jungle Book.
The Stephen Sommers thing?
Yeah,
from
the
like
Stephen Sommers one, yeah.
But there's three more coming out this year.
I know.
What, really?
So what else is coming
there's
out?
There's two more Jungle Books coming out.
Oh, no, I thought you were talking about live-action Disney's.
Oh, there's Lion King and Mulan are the next two.
Yeah, apparently
no, Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast, because it's got Emma Watson.
Oh, is that Disney doing that?
Yeah. Beauty and the Beast and Mulan.
No, they're not doing the Emma Watson one. They're doing their own.
Oh, okay. I thought they were.
I thought the Emma Watson,
Is the Disney one.
Oh, I thought that was Guillermo del Toro.
No. That's the Disney.
Well, then there's two Beauty and the Beast going on.
Oh, my Lord.
And whatever.
And then Mulan is going to be Disney's next.
I mean, sure, I'll watch Mulan, whatever. I mean, shit, I've seen all of these so far.
It's true.
Alice in Wonderland's, like, terrible. Maleficent was very okay. But this was good. Like, I don't know if
there's a live-action Winnie the Pooh coming. That's the other one.
Oh, yeah. Really? And people thought it was an April Fool's joke because the press release came out on April 1st.
Is he
going to
be a stuffed animal or is he going to look like a bear?
But, no.
Hey, you know what was better than the Alice in Wonderland Tim Burton thing? Adventures in Wonderland. That was a fucking sweet show.
I don't think I remember that, Jace, but I think blowing my foot off with a shotgun would be better than watching Alice.
Jesus Christ, on Disney Channel?
Maybe.
That guy. Oh, man. The guy, yeah. No one knows. No one knows Adventures in Wonderland.
Oh, yeah. I watched it.
Yeah. It was a great show.
I'm sure if I saw something from it, I might recognize it.
It's a fucking great show. I watched that shit all the time when I was in high school. What's going on, Michael? What are you doing?
Nothing.
I don't know. It was interesting because, like, if the movie had like been very like kind of stupid and postmodern in this way, where it's like, oh, we're too cool for this kind of story we're telling, it would have totally ruined it.
It was played but straight or serious. But
it's super sincere.
Isn't that like Kenneth Branagh's like stamp?
Yeah, he's melodrama. See, that's his thing.
He
like,
can take the over the top and make it work.
But that's called melodrama. That's what it is.
No, that's like, what
it's literally his deal.
That was Thor.
Yeah, I mean, it's be he coming from like. If one guy understands how to make Shakespeare work, it's fucking Kenneth Branagh on film.
His Hamlet right? was,
the guy on film, he really makes it entertaining because he actually understands what is happening where people just pretend to. We know who we're talking about here. And he gets melodrama in such a fantastic array that you take it super serious. That's why Thor really works for me at any point, because once it becomes winky, you start winking at the camera, you know, metaphorically, you fucking lose me. And you lose most people, except for that one-time viewing. But this one, man, it really works. Like, it is played, is very sincere. The girl they found to play Cinderella, the find, she's fantastic in the movie. She's really great. She's
what else has she done?
She's got a lot of energy.
Hey.
Will you look for us, Chris? I've kind of forgot to. She's a magnetic lead, and from we watched the trailers and we reviewed them here on this show, and we were not hot on her. she was looking to be not
who was
a great
prince?
Choice. He's some guy from Game of Thrones.
Oh, he's the guy who plays Rob.
He's
Rob Stark.
He plays Rob. Yeah,
how'd he do?
Oh, he's good. Everyone in the movie's good except Helena Bonham Carter, who just shows up to be like
the
cartoon character that they hire her to play in every movie instead
she's in
of
there
like
for
being
about
a real actress.
10 minutes to be Alice in Wonderland, and then she's
her
gone.
Name is Lily James.
Lily James, that's her name. Yeah.
She has been on the TV show Secret Diary of a Call Girl. She was also on Downton Abbey.
There you go.
Ah, okay.
Is she
and
anyone?
She plays Elizabeth Bennet in Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Oh man. Well,
that's coming out.
Sucks for her.
God, that just won't die, will it? No pun intended, but, like, seriously, like... Well, I guess Emma Watson's glad to no longer have that albatross hanging around her neck.
What did you think of,
Right, was it Emma Watson? No, it was Natalie Portman.
Yeah, it was Natalie Portman.
Yeah. Boy, I'm glad she escaped from that.
Oh, she was in Wrath of the Titans, too.
Well, we're not going to hold that against her.
What did you feel about
it? Well, Wrath of the Titans was better than Clash of the Titans. But.
Was it?
Was
I didn't
it?
See it.
I enjoyed Wrath better, yeah.
Yeah, Wrath.
What did you think of Cate Blanchett and the stepmother character?
Oh, I liked her. She was good. I feel bad for Cate Blanchett.
I did really... See? Yeah. Yes.
Did you see that thing where she like got angry at the interviewer?
Oh, yeah. That's Yes.
I don't remember what the question was, but she just got very annoyed at him.
Yeah. She just wants to go home.
Yeah.
I appreciated they added a nice little scene in there for her so you don't completely hate her and she's not completely evil. That's a great touch because you didn't see that in almost any other media concerning Cinderella. The stepmother is a completely evil, hateful, spiteful, horrible human being.
Yeah.
And no one, everyone is a complicated character in this movie except maybe the sisters.
Yeah, I mean, I don't... They do some interesting things, and honestly,
really
like,
interesting
the
things.
Thing is, like, the more they tried to remind people that they're watching, like, an adaptation of the Disney movie, like, the less I seem to like the movie, but they don't do it that much.
Yeah, it's pretty much
than,
just
like,
the
fairy godmother stuff.
Yeah, that's pretty much about it.
The aforementioned, like, hey, I'm Helena Bonham Carter here to play the cartoon character that I've played in every movie since...
And I was even okay
what,
with
like,
the mice.
2006? Maybe?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Helena Carter is like a real actress. They just don't hire her to really act anymore.
Yeah, ever since she started showing up.
Oh, since she played Bellatrix Lestrange. There we go. They're just like, hey, play Bellatrix, but she's nice.
Yeah. Yep.
There's a shot with the mice in the movie that cracked me the fuck up because it's the cat going after them, but it's shot like an action movie.
Oh, yes. Okay. I fucking laughed out loud too, man. I thought it was great.
Really quick, evidently this just came out on Variety.
Uh-oh.
David Lynch is leaving the Twin Peaks revival.
Yeah. That's great.
Why?
That just says a lot about what it is, I guess.
X-Files is coming back too, Jace.
Yeah. Well, that kind of kills my hope on Twin Peaks there.
Did they even start filming it yet?
I don't know, Michael.
Don't think so.
No. Nope.
Do you guys think that Paul Atreides was like... So, David, let me tell you about what I've been doing. I'm on this show called Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And he was like, oh, I'm out of here.
Bye.
No, apparently...
David, let me show you my work on How I Met Your Mother.
Apparently, I had been hearing stuff about him and Mark Frost not getting along that much.
Who does David Lynch get along with?
Well, that's...
Used to get along with Mark Frost.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's probably a totally okay guy.
He gets along with Howard Stern.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
They do TM together.
What's TM?
Transcendental Meditation.
Really?
Yeah, David Lynch has got a whole foundation set up for it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like, I don't know. I think people just need to take David Lynch's stuff at face value as far as how he behaves. Because, I mean, like, there's no super elaborate construction behind it. That's just who he is.
Yeah, he's a guy that appreciates quality in his work, and he wants it.
He's going to do what he wants to do.
He's a dude that really liked that dinner at diner booth at Big Boys and wanted to keep it.
Yeah, he took it home. Bought it, took it home.
Bought it and took it home. Ate there every day for 5 years or something.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I mean, whatever.
Okay.
You guys excited about this X-Files thing?
I am.
I've never watched the X-Files ever except in passing when I was a kid.
I've only ever watched, like, the movies.
I have watched
you liked
every
X-Files
episode. I like the Fluke Man episode. Yeah. That's the one I remember.
You've watched them all, huh, Michael?
I've watched them all numerous times. My dear friend Jonathan Hagee, whom I lived with the first 2 years of my time in Lexington, back when we were knew each other in school, we got together almost every week to watch X-Files together. He owns them all on multiple formats. He had the DVD box, the original DVD box sets.
That were like $100 retail when they came
out.
Yes. $125.
Yeah, and then they made the thin
version. $1,000 after tax.
Then he has the thin ones and all that stuff. And I think, did they ever do a Blu-ray of it?
No, I don't think so.
Then they probably will. So he'll probably get that.
I don't know if it really needs to be on
Blu-ray. Yeah, I mean, whatever. I've got like 15 copies of Planet Test Volume 1 because I just buy it whenever I see it.
But, whenever I lived with John,
like I said, buying Catcher in the Rye. Yeah,
yeah, whatever.
Yeah, thank you, Chris.
Yeah,
I love that movie.
You'll get the on the bus now.
Whenever I lived with John, he would constantly just have a DVD playing in the background.
Well, isn't it on Netflix now?
Oh yeah, it's been on Netflix for years.
It's on Hulu. It's on Amazon Prime.
But I love X-Files. I'm very excited about these new six episodes.
Six episodes.
That's it.
It's going to be a mini series arc, kind of like what they did with, I think 24 did 12.
Are they just doing six and then that's it forever? Are they going to do six and then like 2 years from now they're going to do six more?
Maybe.
That's what they'll do.
Who knows? It just depends on how well these six do. Apparently they're going to try and close up some of the open questions that were still in the show.
Like the baseball aliens?
Yeah.
You know what,
I don't fucking know. I've only seen the
Everyone hates
that
show, but guess what? I fucking like it. And fuck you guys. That episode is cool as shit.
You liked that the Klan were aliens?
I love that! Come on!
What are you talking about?
The baseball episode where David Duchovny directed it.
Oh,
where he goes and that guy's playing baseball with the fucking alien and is just a gray alien in the room. Scared me shitless. My nightmare. It's just someone I know. Like every night I have a dream that like Richard's a gray or that Michael is a gray. You all just turn into
speaking
it.
Speaking of Jason's nightmares, Communion. I want to know what you thought about the Mission Impossible trailer.
I didn't see it on a big screen.
Okay. Because I can't wait to take you to that movie.
If I saw it in a theater, I may be freaking out.
Dude, that's July 4th weekend.
Yeah.
No, it's the 31st.
Oh, is it the end of August? Is it the beginning of August?
Yeah, it's July 31st.
Oh, whoops. I thought it was June 30th.
I think that's
Terminator. Shit. Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, no.
Not again.
No, July 4th is just Terminator and Magic Mike 2. I mean, whatever. I like Magic Mike. I don't know if I ever need to see another one. And does anyone really care?
July 31st.
Anyone care about this Terminator movie?
I mean, I'll see it.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Triple H came out to a bunch of Terminators at WrestleMania.
Yes, he was wearing a Terminator.
So he could beat up a senior citizen, as David said.
Yeah, there was a bunch of T-800s. Yeah. was ridiculous, but I laughed.
Yeah, David said it was very funny because these dudes take this armor off of him, and then Sting has to react he didn't just have a bunch of cyborg skulls in his hands.
Yes. Remember that time that he came out with all the skulls and shit on his head, the crown? It was that, except they were all metallic, and he had the scope on the side of his head.
And the best part was there was metallic paint that had kind of rubbed off of him whenever he had that thing on. You could see while he was wrestling.
That was pretty good. He looked like a Las Vegas dancer.
Speaking of summertime, I guess we should do some of these trailers.
Chris, sing the summertime song.
I don't know.
Living in the summertime, yeah.
Oh. Hey, really quick, I have to ask you guys to watch something.
What's that?
Did you watch the Scientology documentary on HBO?
No, I was going to do that tonight when I got home.
Okay, I want to know what you think about it. We need to talk about this.
Okay.
That can be my thing everybody needs to watch is the Going Clear. If it's my turn. I don't remember if it is or not.
It is your turn. Man, good. Why is that so exhausting? Needs to watch
this. Scientology again.
But
I had my fill after reading Dianetics.
Yeah, Michael had to read Dianetics for class.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, God, did you really, Michael?
Yes, I did.
What was the class? Was it like REL 415 Hoaxes, Grifters, and Ripoffs?
Well, didn't I say it was a theology?
No, it was a cults class.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not joking. I didn't come up with this class.
So you went straight from that to Charles Manson, huh?
We did the cults that we studied were the Branch Davidians.
Okay.
Oh, God.
The Mormons.
Nikes and Gatorade.
Scientology. The Moonies.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The other one, and I can never remember what they're called, but they were
Heaven's Gate.
We did do Heaven's Gate.
They're the Hale-Bopp guys. Right?
They were the Hale-Bopp people.
Yeah.
Now, Michael, I say this with all joking aside.
Oh, God.
Was it the Hale-Bopp stuff going on while you were in college? Or was that just high school?
It was high school.
Okay, just making sure.
Hale-Bopp was 98, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe.
I was a freshman or a sophomore, no, junior.
Well, I was in high school then. That seems like it happened earlier.
So no, I
thought it was like 96.
If it was 96, I was still in high school.
Yeah, I think so. It was. Yeah, I was going to say, it may have been 95. And
were you in college when episode 1 came out?
When did episode 1 come out?
99.
No,
you just graduated.
I was graduating high school late that summer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. When did you go into high school?
1999.
Yeah.
I just want you to know that. Year, so.
Okay.
Oh, man. Because I had to wonder what that was like for people who were, studying for exams or whatever, and at the end of the semester they went to go watch episode 1.
Oh, we went to the midnight, too.
It was 97.
So. Was Hale-Bopp? Okay, so I was a sophomore.
Don't get me wrong, I love episode 1, but, that had to be, a thing for people.
I'll tell you the big thing. When I was going into high school, the big movie this summer was Batman and Robin. We all talked about that for months.
And the part where the dog's peeing on the fire hydrant in front of the Taco Bell, and then it gets frozen.
Man, I tell you. We talked about it a lot. And Spawn.
Oh, Spawn.
I bet. Trailer trash. What do you guys want to start with?
Tomorrowland.
Tomorrowland.
Tomorrowland. Sure. Directed by Brad Bird.
And starring George Clooney and a girl they're trying to convince us is a teenager.
Right. Yes. And she's in that Nicholas Sparks movie, right?
And
maybe.
And Hugh Laurie.
Oh, yes.
Who,
and Dr. House.
I don't know if he's a bad guy or not. Because they say evil and they show his face.
They show
him.
But
then they show him two other times where they're all together.
And he's helping
them. Well, they're triplets.
Look at you.
That's actually a thing. He's playing three different roles.
Is he really?
Her name is Britt Robinson.
Yeah, Britt Robinson. I think she's 25 years old.
Yeah, she was born in 1990.
Yeah, there you go. So she's
24. What was the other movie she's in?
Can't Fool Me, Brad Bird.
She was in Dan in Real Life.
Oh, she was daughter in Dan in Real Life.
Probably.
It's The Longest Ride that is coming out this year. It's the other Nicholas Sparks book.
That's the one, yeah.
That I'm sure. Oh, she was in Scream 4. She was in Under the Dome.
Yeah, I don't remember. But
you know,
she is
Nicholas Sparks, so it's going to be cancer.
Don't worry.
When I worked in the library last year, every time somebody would come up to check out a book that it was a Nicholas Sparks, I go, "Wait a minute, cancer!" And they just kind of look at me like they don't get the joke for a second, and then they're like, "Oh, are you really ruining the story for me?" I go, "No, it's just a guess." And then they walk away.
Oh boy. All right, well, tomorrow then.
I still don't quite get the gist of the story, like, 100%, but it looks really cool.
I think it looks beautiful.
It looks expensive, yeah.
And, yeah, it does look expensive.
George Clooney, this seems like a good role for him, like a very affable, you know, curmudgeon, and I feel like that'll be... Well, because he's
trying to put it together. It's like, that doesn't make sense. But
well, because he's in the house and he's like, "Don't you see the dog?" And, you know.
So he's playing Uncle Scrooge.
Yeah, he's kind of Uncle Scrooge. Yeah. But yeah, I mean.
I wish.
I will say I do like this trailer more than the teasers that we've gotten before because it does at least show a little bit more of what's going on.
I've only seen the teaser with her in the office picking up the button.
Every time
the detention center.
She picks up, she's like, "It's not mine." Her noise is so fucking nasally. I don't get it. "It's not my pan."
Oh my God. I don't remember who she is on Under the Dome, which is really sad because I've seen
stuff
like
a whole season of it. Michael Blanton.
I think your ears are clogged, and that's why you think everybody's so nasal.
Well, I think we know that my ears are clogged. I think I had a problem with that last year.
So I think that's why you think everybody's so
nasal.
You need
one of those wax candle things.
Anyway, holy shit, I hope this movie's good.
Yeah,
I think so, too. I think I hope it's good, too. I think it will be.
I'm not really sold.
I'm not certain it will be.
Quite yet. It seems kind of like whatever.
So, you know, they're in a bathtub and they're going down a chute.
No, they get launched into the air.
Yeah, a rocket.
It's a chute into the air. They have a little landing strip that goes up.
Yeah, okay.
They go directly up.
I mean, I don't know. But it looks like a crazy science fiction kind of nutball palooza where apparently the Eiffel Tower is like a rocket or some shit. Maybe. Was that the Eiffel Tower? I can't tell.
Yeah, it's like a rocket launcher.
Yeah.
I know that sounds weird, but it's a rocket launcher. The rocket so it can stand up and launch.
Yeah.
As they say in Metal Slug.
But I like this trailer. It's definitely piqued my interest for the movie.
I suppose I should probably watch Mission Impossible.
Probably should.
I mean, at some point.
It's a great movie.
You still haven't seen that?
No.
Oh, wow. It's really good. You need to watch it.
It's the only Brad Bird movie I didn't see in theaters because I beat The Rush and saw Iron Giant before it was cool.
Yeah, you were in another country at the time, though.
Yeah, it's true. I was in Spain, but whatever. It was still playing when I got back. But I wanted to see Tintin more.
Yeah, did I watch that with you and Chris and Marshall? Is that we all went together?
Yeah, we all went to watch that.
Yeah.
That was a good time.
I remember
you missed out on that.
Yeah, nice.
That was a great time.
I bet it was nice.
We all had a great time. Like, oh my God, this movie! Because it's great. Tintin is awesome.
Tintin was fantastic.
But, you know, I don't know. For me, this trailer's kind of a trash.
It's a treasure for me.
It's Memorial Day, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not really excited about seeing it. It looks like a movie to me.
Yeah, I mean,
so I'm
going to
call
it
trash. Because I'm not excited. I don't hear a lot of people talking about it.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe part of this is just coming off of last summer, which, like, no joke, was, like, the worst summer ever because there were, like, two good movies, you know? And one of them was at the very beginning of summer and one of them was at the very end.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, I don't know. This year's going to be better than last year. At the same time, like, I don't know. I hope it's good. It'd be cool if it was. Like, they've proven me wrong before because I wasn't really hyped for Cinderella and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, me too. I wasn't ready for it, but Kenneth Branagh, he makes an entertaining movie almost every time.
So, you know, what say you, Chris?
I say a treasure. It got me really excited and intrigued about the movie.
Gonna go watch it opening day, Memorial Weekend, Memorial Day weekend?
Maybe, I mean, I'll see it that weekend.
I mean, Disney has a lot of faith in it, I guess.
Tomorrowland, home to the smartest, greatest, and most intelligent human beings. Smartest and greatest and intelligent. That works. Yeah. Anyway, the greatest people that ever lived. They're going to fix everything. But we have to save them.
Hey, man, nothing could ever be more awkward than in one of these X-Men annuals where this two-year-old child is talking and she says, "Somehow I find it hard to believe that." And I was like, "All right, Brian, good job."
It's the future, man.
Yeah, it's the future.
I don't think you...
But Michael, Tomorrowland...
I said treasure.
Treasure?
Yeah, I said treasure.
Sweet.
50-50.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
I think that's about the movie overall.
How's about that Aloha, the movie I didn't know existed?
Wait, you mean Elizabethtown?
Oh, fucking sick. Burn to the max.
Yikes.
I'm not necessarily saying it's sick burn. I enjoy the movie Elizabethtown, but it's the exact same thing.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know. I've seen Elizabethtown.
So this is going to be end of this is going to be the end of Bradley Cooper's career as a lead. Is that what you're saying?
The trailers are almost identical. There's a guy that gets fired from his job, has to go somewhere new and start something
else.
Well,
that's Jerry Maguire.
Meets a girl. Yeah, it's Jerry Maguire too. It's
so
the
cares?
Exact same thing all over again.
It's just what he writes.
Yeah, I mean,
I like the cast.
I did love that they called out that it was written,
right,
by the by the man who wrote Jerry Maguire.
Well, because they say, you know, Cameron Crowe, people are going to be like, who? Because he hasn't had a hit movie in 15 years
since Jerry Maguire.
Yeah,
I guess Vanilla Sky, but people don't seem to care about that movie anymore.
People don't seem to remember it, which is too bad because I actually kind of like
Vanilla Sky. Is good.
Actually, I was talking about that earlier with David.
Yeah, David.
But
he probably hasn't seen it.
Holy shit, they're doing a Star Trek Green Lantern crossover.
It's going to be funny when he's Green Lantern.
They're doing a Star Trek Green Lantern comic crossover. My bad, sorry.
Yeah, IDW and DC.
Oh, well, I mean, they did Star Trek and Legion of Superheroes, which is way weirder to me.
Yeah, just because it's Legion of Superheroes.
Yeah. So, I mean, whatever.
Sorry.
So, Aloha.
It has a better chance of being a good comic than most stuff from DC these days. So, Aloha. What was this in front of that we watched, Jace? Because I didn't know this movie existed.
Chappie.
Was it in front of Chappie? I swear it was something we watched at Cinemark.
American Sniper.
Oh, it was in front of American Sniper.
That's because it's Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll take that over fucking Paul Blart, which has been literally in front of every movie I've seen for 2 months now.
$1 million movie.
Yeah. Dude, no. Like,
oh my
he
God.
Fucking fights with a bird.
I've seen the trailer.
I told you guys when I watched it at the fucking mall
whatever
to do the
movie,
test preview, I told you it was like...
we watched last,
I told you
it
he fought
was
a bird.
In front of, and I'm like...
You guys laughed at me like, oh, he fought a bird in the fucking trailer. It sucks. And he punts an old woman. My criticisms of the trailer were he violence against animals
exists.
And old... violence against women and violence against animals. That was my complaints for the movie.
But Aloha.
So Aloha, I guess. I don't know.
I think the movie looks great.
I think the movie looks like it's got a heck of a cast.
Yeah, I mean, I want to watch it. I like, I like Bradley Cooper and
I like Cameron Crowe. I think the trailer looks really good. It is a very atypical Cameron Crowe movie.
No, he keeps refining the story until it reaches its final form.
I wouldn't call it atypical. It's definitely a typical Cameron Crowe movie.
That's. Oh, did it come out wrong? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Sorry.
And this is a novelty to me because the only Cameron Crowe movie I think I've seen all the way through is Vanilla Sky.
Yeah, I think so. I think you watched Almost Famous all the way through.
No, wait, I watched Almost Famous all the way through.
I watched the sneak preview of Almost Famous.
Oh,
I did too.
And
at Regal?
Yeah.
Maybe we watched at the same time.
Yeah, you're probably sitting like five rows behind me.
I
watched it and I was like, I totally missed out on everything in this movie because I don't get any of this shit.
It seems like this is a cast that is great for this type of movie, if that makes sense.
I like Danny McBride. I'm glad he's in stuff again.
Yeah.
He looks good.
You know, Bill Murray. I mean,
cast is great.
Cast is great. I watch it. I mean, and that's one that I won't have an issue.
I mean, the
Emma
cast
Stone has finally reached the zenith of her career, and that she gets to play that so important role for every young actress—the manic pixie dream girl,
yeah,
or whatever as Ebert calls it.
I don't really think she's going to be a manic pixie in this.
Maybe he's the manic pixie dream guy.
Maybe
I would hope to think that Cameron Crowe has a little greater writing sense.
Yeah, I don't think that he'll use a manic pixie.
He did in Elizabethtown.
Yeah, that's where it comes from.
I know, and I think that he's like, oh shit, I cannot ever do that again.
Because, you know, he's written...
Which the parts of Elizabethtown I've watched, he didn't seem that crazy. But
yeah, I mean, he's written women so much differently before, and just an anomaly, you know, but...
Did you ever watch We Bought a Zoo, Jace?
Oh, well, and wait a minute. What's her name's character in Almost Famous is another definition piece. Of the manic pixie dream girl.
Penny Lane?
Yeah.
I don't know about dream girl, but she is manic.
Yeah, she's manic. She's manic, all right. I thought that the point of the movie was to portray her in that method and then completely unravel it at the end, and she's just a regular girl standing in front of you telling you I love you. Right?
Oh, Notting Hill. Well, a lot of Julia Roberts references today. Conspiracy Theory, Notting Hill.
Damn. That's it.
Well, that's more than we normally do.
Fair enough. But I didn't know this movie existed.
I didn't either.
Actually,
hadn't heard about
it at all. Surprised.
Yeah.
I say it's
a
treasure.
Out?
Huh?
When's it come out?
I don't know.
Yeah, okay. I'm excited to watch it. Treasure. I think it's this month.
It could be.
What?
I enjoyed the trailer. I say treasure as
well. We saw that trailer in January.
Yeah, we saw that trailer in February, man.
I meant February. We saw that.
Did we see it the day before the Oscars?
I think so.
Or maybe the weekend before? I can't remember.
Yeah, Treasure for Aloha.
All right.
Yeah, I think it looks great, and I'm very excited about it.
Ex Machina. How about that?
Holy shit, I cannot wait for that movie.
Jace?
How about... Well, I want to hear Chris. He did his Chris Woo.
All right, Chris, what's
no,
up?
No, it was like a whoo. I think it looks really good.
I'm hyped as fuck for this movie.
Yeah, I really am, too. I think
this movie looks like a fucking return to form.
Did you see what all the stuff it was rated R for?
No, I didn't, but now I want to know.
Please tell me.
Hold on, let me look back up the trailer so I can read it for you.
So here's the thing, too. I think it's...
Movie looks fucking psychotic.
Plus, it looks like it's only going to have three people in it.
Yeah.
Oscar Isaac and whoever blonde-haired dude is.
Weasley.
Yeah. Oh,
Bill.
Really? That was Bill?
Yeah, I think. Huh. The one that's in About Time?
Yeah.
He's also in Star Wars.
He is Brennan Gleeson's son. Domhnall Gleeson, that's his name.
Domhnall Gleeson, that's right. Yeah. And then whoever...
It's rated R for graphic nudity, language, sexual references, and some violence.
Oh, man.
Only some violence? That's great.
Yeah, only some violence.
No, graphic nudity.
And only some
that,
violence?
That's a
perfect combination.
A plus number one, and a little violence. Mostly nudity.
But I'm
the opposite of America.
Here's the thing.
Really? I kind of thought that was all America.
No, they want a lot of violence and a little bit of nudity. No hair. They just want to see the boobs.
If you've heard me talk about Sunshine, for example.
Below the waist.
Yeah, like Basic Instinct.
I absolutely love the movie Sunshine. It's one of my...
Good
it's
movie, buddy.
Easily
yeah,
top
really
three
like
movies
Sunshine
of all time.
Yeah, Sunshine's great.
And, you know... I'm excited that he's doing another movie regardless, but this seems like...
Oh, is this the same guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the guy that wrote and apparently ghost-directed parts of Dread and wrote 28 Days Later.
Oh, okay.
And wrote Sunshine.
Like, he's only written one movie I haven't seen, and that's The Beach.
The Beach. I've seen The Beach, and I really like The Beach.
Is that the Leonardo DiCaprio movie?
The Leonardo DiCaprio movie, The Beach?
Yeah. He wrote the novel it's based on.
I did not like that movie.
Really? I am alone on a island beach about that movie.
Well, yeah.
I'm like one of the only people. I really enjoyed the fuck out of that movie. I thought it was great.
But,
that's the movie that made me a Danny Boyle fan. Not so much.
I'm very... I'm very excited.
Shallow
about
Grave
this.
And Trainspotting?
No, the other one.
28 Days Later.
No,
Life Less Ordinary.
Life Less Ordinary.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, is this guy like Danny Boyle's main writer?
He was. He made him a screenwriter. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm very, very excited about it, and the trailer reinforces my excitement.
Yeah, it looks like a total fucking freak show.
And the effects are out of this world.
Yes.
Oh man. Yeah, the android looks. Like, I'm like, hey, they built a real android for this movie. Yeah. I mean, it looks phenomenal.
Yeah, I've been very excited about, like, seeing, like, anything from this movie when he announced he was doing it, like, 2 or 3 years ago or something. Yeah, it was like, I'm making the, it's going to be crazy. It's this next movie, I my directorial, it's going to be fucking crazy.
So
I'm, great. I can't wait.
Yep, yeah, I'm excited. I'm super
yeah,
treasure.
Great treasure.
Yeah,
have we ever all officially said super treasure?
I don't know.
Super I don't excited. Think so.
This guy's like a true gem in cinema.
Well, and not only just in cinema, but he's like science fiction, especially. He's got that grasp and understanding of what makes good sci-fi.
Maybe, Chris, maybe you should give The Beach another shot, just in case.
It was, like, when it first came out.
Yeah, like, that was,
back
like, 15...
in 1999.
Yeah, you were, like, 12.
Maybe I think, 14. I think you've had a few, even if few life experiences between now and then. So.
Yeah.
That's true.
You know, sometimes movies play differently.
Maybe it was 2000. I think I worked The Beach.
I think it was 2000. I think it came out 2000.
Yeah, then I worked it.
I'm gonna do it.
No, legitimately,
I remember right.
I'll report back.
Sunshine, to me, is like still one of the best science fiction movies of like the past 20 years. Pure science fiction. And it was absolutely fantastic. And
it's no Interstellar.
You know, that's the weird thing is I seem to remember people not liking Sunshine for the most part. But I haven't talked to very many people about it.
I don't
it.
Think most people watch Sunshine.
Yeah, that's the thing as well is I haven't met very many people that have seen it.
Yeah.
But the ones I remember talking to about it didn't like it.
Oh, fuck them.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know.
So, Sunshine is phenomenal.
I'm not going to really argue with that. It's a good movie. I like it.
Ex Machina, I'm very excited about, and I hope we get to watch it in theaters, but, you know.
Yeah, that'd be cool. It'd be cool if the Kentucky Theater actually served a fucking purpose for once.
Yeah. So, going to keep my eyes open just to see if that, you know, happen to carry it, or, you know, maybe we'll luck up.
Is it out this month?
It's soon. It's like either this month or next month.
Okay.
Hey, I'll tell you guys what. If you want to come down on a Sunday, I'll drive the rest of the way to Knoxville because there's an art house that gets it mainly in Knoxville.
Deal. Let's do it.
I bet you money they'll get it.
How far away is Knoxville?
It's about an hour from me.
Yeah, it's about an hour.
Corbin's that close to the border of Tennessee?
Oh, yeah.
Corbin's only 25 miles from Tennessee border.
Yeah. Well, because that's how the mile markers work for interstate exits. Whenever you cross the border, it resets the number.
Yeah. Man, Tennessee's so fucked up because it just seems like I'm done driving through it after half an hour.
Yeah.
It is such a short drive to get through that state, and I don't know why. And it takes forever to get through here.
Well, where are you going through?
Eh.
Because you might be going through just that little tip.
I went through Nashville this time.
Its release date is April 10th.
Oh, so it's next week.
If
the New York and LA.
It would take forever to get to Tennessee when I had to, and then when I got to Tennessee, it was like I was I was in the middle of it in 5 minutes. It seemed.
Yeah, no, it's weird. I don't get it. All right, how about Inside Out?
I'm still really not.
Crap, this website is crazy for Ex Machina.
What the website itself?
Sorry.
Like the movie's website or a site that has like a banner?
I didn't know there was sound. My bad.
So here's the thing with this, the final trailer for Inside Out.
Hey, you've been really looking forward to this.
No, I haven't.
Is that what? Fucking yelled at me.
Okay. I think that this trailer conveys what the movie's about better than any other trailer before it.
And that bodes negatively.
I am not sold on this movie.
Michael.
I am... Okay, here's the thing. Pixar...
Did you forget to put the toilet seat down? Whoa!
Pixar...
Men and women are different.
Yeah, Pixar's at its best when it's the secret life of...
Yeah, the secret world of whatever.
And emotion is way too nebulous.
Why are there only five? It's like... It's specifically joy, anger, sadness, fear, and disgust. And I'm like, disgust is one?
It's great. Mary saw the trailer in front of Cinderella. I never talked to her about this movie at all before. And she was like, that looks like Herman's head.
Here's my problem. Why does she get her
fucking great?
Why does she get her anger from her father? Apparently, because anger looks like the dad's main one.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if that's anger, does that mean he's an abusive father?
I think you're overthinking this, Michael.
Well, I'm just
all men are angry.
I don't know,
more than women.
It just it really
like they all had mustaches in the dad's mind. That was kind of a cute game.
In my brain, or in my brain, yeah. The only thing that really sort of piques my interest is that Amy Poehler seems...
Yeah.
Amy Poehler seems like Leslie Knope in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, especially whenever she sees the rainbow unicorn. Like, that
I loved your work in Hoppy Rainbow Party 2. I don't know what she's
in the dream. Yeah, whatever dream. Yeah. But I'm not sold on this movie at all. And this trailer didn't help.
It didn't make me want to throw a fucking table like the last one did.
There is no animation in it. Like, these people just stand there. The design work looks like Osmosis Jones.
It does look like Osmosis Jones.
It really does. Not even that they're little.
Holy
just like
crap,
it,
you're right.
It really just looks like that movie. It has the same
aesthetic. Who's the director on this?
It's Pete Doctor.
Oh, I thought he was the good dinosaur.
No. This is the Pete Doctor movie that goes inside the mind.
Untitled Pixar movie that goes inside the mind. Yeah, yeah. Who's the good dinosaur then?
It was Bob Peterson, but he's fired, so now it's everyone.
Oh, God.
And I think the cloudy guy is the main director.
Peter Sohn?
Yeah, Peter Sohn. I think he's the main guy on it. So,
I can't wait to watch that with you, man.
Oh, my God. This is going to be the worst movie.
The closest Jace ever has come to cerebral hemorrhage, I think, was me torturing him about Cloudy with a Chance.
Oh, my God.
After we watched, not Ratatouille, Wall-E.
Wall-E, yeah.
Oh, man, he hates that.
I fucking hated it. I've never had such a strong reaction to a short film in my life.
Fucking embolism in the middle of Rafferty's.
God. It's awful. It was really awful.
Memories. This trailer's not it. I didn't hate it as much as the first one, but boy, like, it's just, I'll watch it, you know, I'm excited because it's a Pixar movie.
But what does that mean anymore?
When I was at Hollywood Studios or whatever over spring break, I took a picture of, like, the upcoming Disney slate, and it had a picture of Big Hero 6 as they hadn't swapped it yet, and then to the left was Inside Out and then Finding Dory and The Good Dinosaur, and I'm like, oh, man, we are not batting 1,000 here. Like, I gotta know, Finding Dory could be good, whatever. I think I've talked enough about Finding Nemo. But
yeah, I mean, this is like a...
Man, Good Dinosaur is like, you...
I haven't seen, I mean...
Until proven otherwise, and this kind of proves otherwise for Inside Out.
Yeah, it really does. I mean,
like, it's just like...
It looks, you know. It's devoid of anything, I think, that made Pixar great in the lead-up. I mean, there's no, like, it doesn't look, it doesn't feel huge. I mean, even if it's, you don't get the sense of awe and wonder that you would in any other movie they ever made, with giant sets, huge backgrounds,
well, and plus,
amazing animation work. That was like fucking set new standards.
I guess the other thing too is a lot of like the stories were tangible things. Like, for example,
I mean,
Toy Stories.
We know what happened.
Toy Stories. They were toys. Monsters.
Oh,
Inc.
Shit. Fucking figured the movie out.
Shut up.
Finally.
Monsters, Inc. It was that fear of monsters living in the closet or under the bed and stuff like that. And this just doesn't... Oh, the little girl's going to go emo for a while.
Brave was wondering what happens when you turn into a bear.
The thing about this trailer isn't that any of the jokes made me laugh or any of the stuff where it's like, these things you feel are real. Like, I was looking at that, and I was like, man, this looks super manipulative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that like in, like, a funny sense, but, like, it's just like, here's where the movie's going to get sad because whatever. And I don't know.
It's right on the... I don't know. I mean, this is...
Man, I hope it's good.
I mean...
I feel like somebody, like, the writer has a kid going through puberty or something like that.
Yeah, I wondered about that. Is like, did the two of them get lost? Like, happiness and sadness, do they get lost and it's only fear, disgust, and anger that are left because that's like how they view teenagers?
Well, and they took a happy memory and sadness, you know, caused it to turn blue and all that shit. So, well, you liked this whenever you were younger, blah, 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 you know, so I don't know.
Yeah. Congratulations, San Francisco. You ruined pizza.
Well, that was
I did like that.
That's a great line.
I also like the joke where she's like, I'm positively sure you're going to get lost in there or whatever.
I do like him as anger.
Louis Black.
Because he's the angriest person.
It's true.
Most of us know.
Your kids at work would probably debate that statement. Whether or not I agree with it is up for debate.
Gotcha.
God damn it.
Fair enough.
Well, you tell me that shit. Well, you know what? It fucking pisses me off. I don't mean that as a joke, Jace.
I know, but you're coming off as a joke by screaming it.
Sorry, that's why I was laughing.
So trash across the board, for Inside Out.
It's like you're wearing a dress. You're like, why are you laughing? I don't know why it's so funny.
Yeah.
I was more excited before.
I was talking about this to Michael Aaron. I did think it was significant that this is the only Pixar trailer I've ever seen where they show you the cast at the very end.
Yeah, that they name the cast.
They tell you, like, here's the people that are in it.
You got to watch it. We're DreamWorks.
Yeah. I don't know the lady playing Sadness.
I don't know. Yeah, the Phyllis.
Sybil, or Phyllis Johnson?
Who's
Phyllis
Sadness?
Stevenson?
Phyllis Jones? The blue one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Phyllis Jones. I don't know.
It might be Phyllis Stevenson. I want to say it had Steve something in there.
Thanks.
I didn't know Kyle MacLachlan was the dad. That's weird.
Yeah.
Oh. I didn't know that either.
Paul Atreides.
Phyllis Smith is the, I know who she's from The Office. She's Phyllis on The Office.
Oh!
Who's that?
She's the
old big
woman.
Dumpy woman.
Oh, with the red hair?
I can't believe you just said that.
Oh, not the red hair. God.
Basically.
Yeah, okay, she works for that. Yeah. She was in Bad Teacher. She was Cameron Diaz's... Oh, okay. I thought you would have watched that.
I've seen parts of it.
She was Cameron Diaz's
She's the Dr. Quinn medicine woman.
She was in Dr. Quinn medicine.
I don't think... She was the flight attendant in Chipwrecked. How's that?
And so what? This is the best of NBC cast members.
Well, yeah, that's
I'm sure
really,
Rainn
yeah.
Wilson's probably pissed he didn't get called.
He's probably one of the dad's voices.
This is
he's got his own show now.
There you go.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know her.
Well, that makes sense then. That's who that is. Okay.
All right.
Anyway, moving on.
Trainwreck. Is that the last one?
No. There's We did Pixels. Let's do Pixels.
Oh, Pixels. Whew. Oh, boy.
Boy, that's a movie that knows exactly what it is.
Guys, yeah. guys. Treasure.
Oh, really?
I really like this trailer.
I will
I'd
say...
I'd be genuine about it.
I will I say...
I thought it looked goofy stupid.
I'm the
thought
same
it
way.
Looked fun as shit.
I'm calling it a treasure because it's not trying to hide what it
it's
is.
So, it's Adam Sandler. Just so dumb. I want to see it.
Michael, you are right about that.
It's just a barrel. How bad could that be? Whoa!
It's so stupid.
You want ghosts? Here are your ghosts. Fiats.
And they're fucking blink. It actually says Blinky on the license plate and shit.
That's great. How could you not like that? And on their cars, it's Blinky. And
listen,
they're going to drive
sure
away
Peter
from
Dinklage,
Pac-Man.
I bet Peter Dinklage had in his contract the only way I do this movie is if I get the best mullet from the 80s possible.
Is he
supposed to be the King of Kong guy?
I don't think so.
I assume so.
Yeah.
I assume so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that dude has hair like that.
Yeah.
Or he did.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope, because that just would...
God, I hope so. That would
make
awesome.
It. Honestly, the gag at the end makes this trailer
I like
a treasure.
That, dude.
Well, we're...
my son. Batman, I have to talk to my son. Yeah.
Is that the real guy?
Yeah, that's really him.
I have no idea if it
no,
is.
No, it really is.
Yeah. Well, he's awesome then. he's got great
it.
Screen presence. I mean, the movie's ridiculous. It's, video game characters are like, let's find the best video game player in the world. It's like Armageddon. It's the exact same movie, only this one's actually a comedy.
Fair enough. I mean, and there's an episode of Futurama that's exactly this plot.
Yeah.
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 Oh, yeah. You know,
except Pac-Man's a general in it.
Honestly, I think...
And they're fighting the space invaders.
I think the effects in this look neat. I like how
they
look.
Do. It actually looks like it'd be a cool movie to watch in 3D.
Yeah,
and the thing is like, I mean, it's not. It is definitely like, not trying to.
I can't hate it because Kevin James is the president of the United States of America.
Well, that's
like,
very true.
We made. I swear to God, we made this at some
the
point.
The darkest timeline.
It's like, yeah, it's like we are in the Mandela world and the other in
the post Mandela world
and in the other world we came up with this trailer. And in this world, they heard that version of it when we did the crossover, so they made it. Yeah. It's what happened.
It's the darkest timeline.
But no, it's seriously, it's. I applaud the movie for not taking it. It's not taking itself seriously at all. And that might make it enjoyable as hell. I mean, it really could.
Maybe this will fucking rob the thunder from Ready Player One.
I hope it does.
That would make me happy.
I hope it does.
I would be so pleased.
Maybe.
They put a lot of money in this movie.
Yeah.
But so you guys think it's stupid looking? Looks dumb?
Yeah.
I mean, you know what? Here's my thing. Looking at it as a trailer, it is the perfect trailer for this kind of movie. I may not want to see this movie.
Yeah, exactly.
But it is a damn good trailer.
I did like the joke where Adam Sandler was like, Pac-Man's a bad guy.
So distraught. Because it's got to be Pac-Man's probably his favorite game. That's what he played every day.
So, yeah.
It's a treasure, definitely.
So who comes to save the day? Is it Space Invaders come to save the day? Is Galaga?
The Space Invaders are in it.
It's Galaga?
The Invaders we have are Centipede, well, Donkey Kong.
If he flies in a Galaga ship, it's going
to
be the
To best. Be fair, have you ever watched the short film?
No.
It's actually quite good.
What?
Oh, is it short based off of a short film?
Yeah, it's based off of a short film called Pixels. And okay. The short film.
And that guy's dream was to have Kevin James play the president in his movie.
It's just so good.
No, because that's what I'm saying.
It's like Adam Sandler listened to like everyone just making fun of Kevin James all the time. He's like, you know what? I'll just make him the president.
If you watch
that.
The short film, like it's the short film's very artistic.
Yeah.
And obviously, I'm like,
is he directing the movie?
I hope not. I think he might have just taken the money and run.
I wonder who's directing it.
You want me to look it up?
I'll look it up right now, Chris. It's okay.
I'm already there.
It's well, fine. Fuck you then. I look mean, it up.
You know,
Chris Columbus.
Oh, that's why. Well, all right.
That explains.
That's great. Yeah. I think that's great. That's great. He's fallen this far. It's going to be awesome.
Sean Bean.
He's taking Dennis
movie.
Dugan's spot.
Sean Bean's in it. Who is he?
It doesn't say.
He dies.
Michelle Monaghan's in it.
I guarantee
Payne
you guys.
Payne Krasowski's in it. Ashley Benson, Josh Gad, Brian Cox.
Brian Cox has got to be an angry general.
He's the Admiral Porter.
Yes.
Is Ashley Benson one of the daughters or something?
It just says Lady Lisa is her name. This is IMDb.
I bet she's like a princess or something like that. Who's in another castle?
Yeah.
I mean, I've enjoyed this stretch of Adam Sandler movies for the last couple of years, so I'm all right with it. I'll hang with it.
Did you listen to that podcast where those guys just watched Grown Ups 2 every day for a year?
No, and I'll never.
What?
I'll never listen to that.
Like, apparently it is like a transcendent experience that will alter the way you view narrative or something, according to like AV Club or some shit. I don't know. It was something like most, you know, trash can fires. It burned very brightly and very hot, but very quick.
Yeah,
and everyone seems to have totally forgotten about it by now.
But
yeah,
I mean,
it was like two New Zealand guys.
What was the last one? Was it the Drew Barrymore?
Yes.
Blended, which Blended. Everyone hated.
I liked it a lot. I thought it was good.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I thought it was a good movie.
I don't ever need to see it again, but it was a fun way to
never
kill an hour.
Buy
and
it, you know. It was definitely better than we expected because the trailer's like fucking garbage.
Yeah, I mean, it made me laugh. Whatever. Yeah.
I've not watched it, but I'll watch it on Netflix.
You know, it's not Ghostbusters. I'm not going to have to like carry it close to my chest for the rest of my life, and then 20 years later, there's going to be like, you know, dueling fucking remakes. So
I mean,
it's
there's
like
definitely
twice the number of movies I could give a shit
about. They're not dueling. They're in the same universe.
Are they now?
Yeah.
Great, that's what we graduated to, is fucking shared universe Ghostbusters. Awesome.
So,
Spielberg's directing Ready Player One.
Yep.
The Darkest Timeline.
Cool.
So, it's treasure, trash, and trash.
Yep.
Yeah.
Maybe Jason agreed.
Oh my God, I changed my vote.
Speaking of train wrecks, let's do train wreck.
My God, this movie is going to be hilarious.
John Cena has the best line in the trailer.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, Mark Wahlberg. I look like Mark Wahlberg ate Mark Wahlberg.
Well, that's in the Green Band trailer.
Yeah. So good. I didn't watch the Red Band.
The Red Band trailer, number one, this guy comes up and you see his ass and she's like, oh my God, have you ever fucked anybody before? Where are they buried? Because the insinuation is that he has a massive penis, and then
Michael had to spell it out.
Oh, okay.
Well, he did. And then John Cena is sitting there having sex with Amy Schumer. She's like, "Talk dirty to me," and so he's like, "I was just walking out the gym after
Don't
doing this
have
squat
to gyrate, Michael.
After doing this squat set, and my legs were burning. Oh God, oh!" And he was just talking about himself, and then you know.
Finished off,
and it was fantastic. It's going to be a fantastically, hilariously funny movie.
John Cena's very funny in the
LeBron trailer. James talking about Downton Abbey.
That was who that is.
LeBron James, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
The second most famous basketball player of all time?
Yeah.
What?
I didn't know that was him, though.
Come on. Who's the most famous?
Michael Jordan.
So, you really think he's second? Yeah, Magic Johnson.
I would say
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
More so than now. Yeah, most definitely.
Larry Bird.
Yep.
Dr. J.
Yep.
Grant Hill, who drinks Sprite.
Grant Hill. Shaquille O'Neal. Shaquille O'Neal is more famous.
Yeah, Shaquille O'Neal probably.
Shaq's more famous.
I don't know.
You're fucking wrong. Shaq is more famous.
I don't know.
Shaq was in Kazam
and Steel.
He's also in Steel.
And Blue Chips with Anthony Hardaway. Yeah.
Blue Chips is not a bad movie.
Blue Chips is a good movie.
And Rick Pitino.
Rick Pitino is in it. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
But yeah, Trainwreck is going to be hilarious.
It does look super entertaining.
Yeah, it's Judd Apatow directing a script that he did not write, I think, for the first time.
Yeah, Amy Schumer
wrote it.
But hey,
well, it's Amy Schumer, so it's going to be fucking gross and realistic.
There's probably going to be an abortion in the movie too. I mean,
an
abortion.
She's
what makes you think that?
Because she jokes about abortions.
Oh well, okay.
She's a great comedian.
Oh yeah, I mean, listen to her stand-up.
She's the MTV Movie Awards. Apparently,
yeah, she's awesome. This is a movie debut.
Look, she's
for
hosting
her.
It because it comes around the same time the movie does.
Yeah, and Judd hasn't had a big hit in a while, so. I think it's a perfect
Anybody
storm.
Ever end up seeing This Is 40?
Nope.
I did.
Yeah, how was it?
Yeah, I saw it.
I don't remember most of it.
It's not that great.
Twas a movie,
It was
huh?
a movie that happened, and it wasn't a great movie.
Bill Hader is the romantic lead in this, so that's great, and I'm very happy for him and for America to see him in a movie.
He's in both this and Inside Out.
That's right.
When I say Treasure.
Oh, yeah, Treasure.
It made me laugh.
Most definitely.
I do, too.
John Cena. Look like Mark Wahlberg ate Mark Wahlberg.
He's like 150 pounds on him. Does he look like Mark Wahlberg ate Mark Wahlberg?
It's such a great line. Such a great line.
So good.
Well, let's do some comics. Comics. Dr. Doom has been around forever.
Black Cat.
TPB.
Fantastic Four.
First appearance of Dr. Octopus. The next issue of Avengers. Cable.
Ghost Rider.
Incredible Hercules. Comics. Lobo. John Burke. Moon Knight.
Mr. Hyde. The original Ghost Rider was a cowboy who had a flying horse.
Thor, God of Thunder, number 25, comics. He hears rumors of the Lizard. Between Amazing Fantasy, number 15, and Amazing Spider-Man, number 1, and then Amazing Spider-Man, number 1, and Amazing Spider-Man, 2, and then number 2 and number 3. Comics. 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 Comics.
So it's Uncanny
and all new. And
all new.
Let's do all new first. And all new. Yeah, let's do all new first.
All right. Finally, it's over.
Yeah. Oh my god. Like, I don't think we ever did the Brotherhood story on all new, but it's been so long since it was gone. I like that Brotherhood story. It has some neat touches in this. You know, they kind of regained the momentum after Battle of the Atom, which, you know, kind of averaged out to start really good, and then by the end kind of just turned out to be okay, whatever. So this is the ultimate storyline we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Holy fuck. It's not bad.
It just went on forever.
I swear to God, it's like 12 issues.
Oh my God, it feels just like it's never ending.
But it's actually only six.
Yeah, and it could have been done in two.
Yeah.
It's the most decompressed story I've ever seen.
I will say I kind of liked the Beast Doom stuff.
Yeah,
it's all right.
They
blew up his castle.
That was great.
Oh, that was fantastic. But my biggest thing is it was just like, I think it loses a lot of impact when nobody knows what the fuck's going on in the Ultimate Universe anymore.
That's true.
Dude, there's a character that shows up with Storm and Kitty Pryde's X-Men. It's this white dude with like big blonde dreadlocks. He's in one panel, and that's it. I actually took a picture of him to send to Jace, and then he went over to Danville, and I was like, well, never mind. I was like, where does he appear again? Is he the person on fire? But no, there's like a redheaded girl. She's the one on fire.
Yeah, nobody knows who the hell these people are.
I mean, I knew who Son of Wolverine was.
A lot of people, yeah.
His actual name. It's just, you know, that's Ultimate X. That's the main character from that book.
Right.
Drawn by Art Adams that had like three issues that came out across 15 years.
Well, and one of my things was, like, people don't know, like, what all happened to all of the fucking X-Men and why those who survived are the ones there and who died and who went crazy.
Angel died in Ultimatum, I think. Did the Blob eat him?
Right, yes.
I know he ate the Wasp.
Here's the thing. Nobody cares or else there would still be an Ultimates universe.
There sort of still is.
But it's getting ready to be destroyed.
It's one book.
Yeah.
Because all the other two that came out of the Cataclysm got canceled.
And take a guess at who that book is. Yeah, Ultimate Spider-Man.
Miles Morales, the Ultimate Spider-Man.
Which, you know, he's the only thing that most people care about with Ultimate Universe.
This is like the third thing I've read with him, and none of them have been his actual book.
Yeah, that's very funny.
Well, you've never read any of Ultimate X-Men. Spider-Man, right?
Oh, I read up through the Hobgoblin story in Ultimate Spider-Man, because that's when I worked at the library.
Which, I mean, he was fine in the book. It's not that I disliked his character, but I just don't see it as a necessity.
Well, he's there because Bendis created him. I mean, you know.
And plus, Bendis kind of wanted to introduce people to...
He's a fucking bigger draw than the Ultimate X-Men in an X-Men book.
Oh my God, it's great.
He kind of wanted people to, you know, test the waters a little bit more with Miles because, you know, Miles is coming to the Prime Universe.
Well, purportedly.
That's pretty much going to happen.
I mean, they said that they're going to collide and things are going to be crossing over.
Isn't he in the Avengers book?
He's in the Mark Waid Avengers book.
Yeah, he's in the new Avengers book.
But who knows if that's like the fucking Avengers or if that's like Kid World or something.
All different Avengers?
All new, all different Avengers is post-Secret Wars.
Because
it's got a free comic book day book, right?
Yep. Miss Marvel.
Oh, God, that's a really bad idea. I already put her on the Avengers.
I agree. Absolutely agree.
Why would you do that? It's fucking delicate as goddamn crystal underneath the sledgehammer. What are you doing, you idiots?
We got something new. Push it. Go!
Oh, God.
But
read her another book. Buy multiple books of this one character. That's the only one you're buying of.
How many... I guess one thing that Bendis has really enjoyed doing is having characters talking to themselves.
Oh, God, yes.
Because I'm pretty sure that Iceman has dealt with about 16 different versions of himself by now.
He's going to poop icicles.
I did like the fact that he uses the Ice Hulks from Future Bobby. Mm-hmm.
The Ice Monsters from Frozen.
Yes. But... I don't know, like, This was a good arc. It wasn't a great arc.
Oh my god, that Frozen short in front of Cinderella, Richard.
Yeah, I kept meaning to talk to you about that.
Oh yeah, now kiss. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Anyway.
So
it is the perfect birthday because I got to get to take care of you.
Right.
And then, of course, you know, I don't know. Is there anything else to be said about the Ultimate crossover?
I mean, it was fine. I don't.
Yeah, I mean, it was mostly just
like it's weird. Like it's like so like. I guess Bendis just doesn't have an editor because the cover artist drew Cyclops on one of the covers.
Yes.
I was like, Cyclops is back? Nope.
So a lot of gags involve Jean Grey just reading someone's mind.
Yeah, well, it's like that uncanny book that had Cyclops and Havok on the cover and neither one of them are talking to each other at all on the cover.
Now, I will say that the, I guess, epilogue issue, I don't know if anybody
the one
else.
With Emma Frost and the Blob?
Yes. I like
that really good.
It is all right.
What the? I like that issue just where because she just kept hitting Booper on her nose to make her powers go away.
And where she took her to Madripoor and was like, listen,
we're taking away your psychic powers, so use her telekinesis. Yeah. And I'm like, what?
No, they're taking away. Yeah, they were taking away her telepathy.
But I'm like, telekinesis is psychic too.
Yeah, I know.
Well, the point they're trying to make is that's what Xavier's been doing the entire time. He's an evil guy.
Well. Emma makes a joke about that.
Well, that's a pretty strong implication in the other book.
Maybe to a degree, but that's the thing is in the Silver Age, she didn't have telepathy. She had telekinesis.
Exactly. That's
and when she came to the present, she had it.
Right.
But that wasn't the power that startled her. Her power that startled her were her nebulous energy powers. Her 90s X-Men book powers, right, as
sure.
I like to call them.
Sure, sure. But they're all coming out.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
But yeah, that was a great issue. But now
I like it only because I think that Bendis has a really great grasp on Emma Frost.
Oh God. Yeah.
More so than a lot of other writers.
I think the only person I was going to say Grant Morrison's about the only other person that really gets Emma.
Yeah. But honestly, he's just doing her version. I'm sorry.
He is.
He's doing Grant's version of it. Yeah.
He's doing Grant's version of a lot of things.
Yeah. Which is good.
Which is fine. Yeah.
It's a good direction for a lot of that stuff to go. It's just,
I mean, I don't know why Madripoor has three eyed rats. Actually, I thought that the fucking Terra Genesis bomb had landed there or something.
No, it's because of the leftover MGH.
Was it in, like, the water?
Yeah, MGH. Well, no, it's like whenever they, and then they throw the shit around. They talked about that in one of the other books that, like, the vermin have been chewing into the MGH canisters.
Oh, maybe they did when Dazzler was around.
Yeah, when Dazzler was around, they were talking about that.
Which, that's a thing.
But anyway, so let's talk about the annual, which All New X-Men was the first part.
Uncanny's the blue one. All New is the second part. It's the red one.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, you're right. Never mind then.
Wait. Yeah, because I only knew that because I looked on the solicit to make sure by publishing date.
Yeah.
I was like, this came out December 10th, and this one came out December 20th.
All right, so do we want to go to Uncanny?
Yeah. Well, let's do the Uncanny Annual, yes. The Secret Life of Ava Bell, I think it's called.
Mm-hmm. Holy shit.
Yeah, Bravo is probably the best thing Bendis has written for an X-Men book. And I say that as someone who's been really enjoying his stuff.
What a great
far more than I've expected.
What a great character Ava Bell is.
I was like, oh shit, this is really good.
Yeah, the whole story's good.
This was worth the wait to know what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very neat.
Very tragic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And not in a
cheap way.
No, not in a cheap way. Right.
No, you're right. Yeah.
I really liked that whole. I liked the fact that one book she goes to 2099 and sees one thing, and then the next book she goes to 2099
sees something totally different.
Totally different, and it is. It's really cool.
She doesn't like break down. I mean, you can tell it really affects her.
Right.
But she's a hero and she keeps moving.
She's learning that that's a consequence of her powers.
She's building new characters.
Whenever she goes to the Old West and Rawhide Kid threatens to, that was really cool. He's like, good luck, little lady. You know, that was a really cool moment. Obviously her fighting dinosaurs and running into Morgan Le Fay.
Yeah.
which that was a nice little throwback to
Avengers Assemble.
Yeah, no, that was
Mighty Avengers. Mighty Avengers, Mighty Avengers, yeah. With Doctor Doom
and him sending her back to the Stone Age.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that they flat out say, you know, you leaving her back there is one of the bravest things, you know, because you could have very easily, you know, brought her back. And yeah, you could have made it home okay, but you would have brought Morgan Le Fay back. And instead, she's like, I got to learn how to use these powers. And it's just, it was really good. She's a great character. I love Eva Bell. I love her character.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I do too. She's
great.
Like, it's admirable because she is probably one of the few new characters Bendis has created ever.
Yeah, yeah.
And not just a past character that was created in like a miniseries in the early 2000s that he decided to kind of take on his own, like the Sentry or the Hood or...
So it's her and Geldof.
Yeah, I guess Geldof, which Geldof kind of sucks, so whatever.
And then, to me...
It's like that and Miles Morales.
Yeah, Miles.
I really felt like the timing of these annuals was really neat, too, because it makes sense by the end of the Uncanny storyline why she is the way that she is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because she has some chutzpah, as he would like to say.
She got a little gumption to her. I just like that word.
Yeah.
Hey, she's a great character. And explored extremely well in these stories that mm-hmm. are very compact for Brian Michael Bendis to tell, as mm-hmm. we were just talking about. He had 6 issues to tell a 2-issue story.
This is the thing that the kid says. It's a rock scientist. You can learn about the whole world from the rocks. And the kid says, see, that surprises me. Yes, like any 2-year-old would. See... comma,
but it's
that surprises me.
It's $20.99.
I know. It's just like,
I know.
Oh yes, boy, yeah. That's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it talks like Bendis forgot how to write like a fucking toddler. Yeah.
But so the main story of Uncanny is the last will and testament of Charles Xavier. Is that he has this hidden mutant
again.
Matthew Malloy.
It's always a hidden mutant,
yes.
Right?
It's always a hidden mutant. It's always something evil that Xavier did, blah, 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 whatever.
And...
Boy, like, I got scared that this story hadn't ended.
Yeah.
Not that it was bad. It was just like, God, this keeps going. Like,
yes,
it's,
it really does.
It was like 6 issues I hadn't read, and there were already 3 that were published, because this started in, like, the beginning of Original Sin.
Yes. Yeah,
like, it started like, last June.
I've been reading it since then.
But...
Yeah, like...
Every month.
Yeah. And I think the character of Matthew Malloy, it was an interesting take. You know, I mean, it was like Proteus in my brain, though. Was that his name, Proteus?
Oh, yeah, Proteus.
I was like, oh, yay, another mutant that Xavier kind of manipulated.
Proteus is the only one that isn't mentioned in that big gallery of, like, here are the mutants that went ape shit and out of control.
Right.
Because they show Legion, they show... oh, gosh.
You know, the others.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, they show Dark Phoenix, they show Magneto.
That's right, yeah.
Or it might have been Joseph, I don't
They even
know.
Show Madeline Pryor.
They did show Madeline Pryor as the Goblin Queen, yeah.
Yeah.
Which, technically, she's not a mutant, she's a clone, but whatever.
But,
she had devil powers, not psychic powers.
The whole thing with this is,
They do a monster retcon to Cyclops' origin, where... Xavier's finding him in an orphanage instead of on the streets.
Yeah, weird.
A little bit, yeah. Well, whatever.
I guess
it's not feasible for a kid to be on the streets anymore.
Yeah.
Ava changed time, whatever.
Yeah.
Bendis has got
his
a
powers
really...
manifested as like a 6-year-old.
Bendis has got a really fucking good grasp on Cyclops.
Yeah.
I feel like.
In some ways.
They kind of had to do that with Captain Marvel, too. I mean, there's like no way they're by themselves.
Him living in the subway?
It's not going to happen.
But like, I like the reactions because you have Bobby and you have Magneto both talking about the fact I don't want to sympathize with him. I'm mad at him still for killings, you know, and Magneto was like, I know he was suffering from, you know, post-traumatic stress or whatever.
Yeah, I was angry at him, but I wasn't ready to talk to him.
Yeah, and I kind of like the fact that you could kind of see Scott fraying at the edges just a little bit, trying.
Magneto shows up in the story for like half an issue, and then he's gone.
Yeah. Hey, this is shitty. Fuck you. Well, all right.
Peace out, fuckers. Solve it yourselves.
I just like the fact that it was...
I gotta go be an Axis.
Yeah.
I just like the fact that this is sort of like...
You Where know, was Wolverine?
Oh. Dead.
Dead, I think. Well, no, he teleports him away, and then like everyone's like, where's Wolverine? And then like that's it. Which is weird, because he doesn't have any of like the physical damage he has from losing his healing powers.
Also, I read this like 7 months ago.
Yeah.
Some of it. So.
I don't know.
I can't tell you for clear.
I liked how Scott was trying to redeem him because he felt like if he could redeem Malloy, he could redeem himself.
Yeah.
And, you know, because it's that survivor's guilt and stuff like that. And I do love the fact that, you know, Eva is the one who's, you know, kind of...
Eva crosses the line. She doesn't care anything about it.
It's great, actually.
You know, well, first off,
like,
she's
it's like no question of what we have to do. Go do this.
Yeah.
And Xavier's like, well, okay, you're really disturbing me here.
He's like, you're a pretty horrible mutant. He's like, I'm nothing compared to you, Mr. Xavier.
Well, and
pretty much how it went.
But I also like the fact that Eva's like the one saying, listen, nobody's tried to help him. He's doing what he has to do. Then, of course, you know... they all die, which... Oh, side note. When magic goes and interrupts Doctor Strange and Clea having sex...
Yeah, it's funny that Bendis remembers they're married now.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Because he definitely didn't when he was using the character for the first time a decade ago.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they got divorced at some point, sure. Someone will write that story in 6 years from now.
But, yeah, it was, you know, she goes back and has Xavier pretty much make them not meet so that Matthew Malloy doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And
they take the main plot of Back to the Future to its natural fruition.
Yeah. And then Xavier apparently mind wipes himself. Because he's good at that.
Where he says, I think I've done it before.
Yeah.
Or, I've done it before, I think.
And she goes like back and good. Scott's flipping her shit. Yeah. And she's like, you know what? I'm not your student anymore. But I got my eyes on you, motherfucker.
Yeah.
I'm pretty powerful.
Yeah, don't fucking mess with me.
I kind of wonder what they're going to do with her from then. But who knows? It might all just get wiped out because of the battle evil.
I don't think she'll turn evil. So well.
Because she's great and she's got a... She's a real hero. Like, she's a real hero, mm-hmm. which is, you know, do the hard job, right?
Yep.
So.
And, I mean, I think, again, though, I feel like that they did that with Scott, too. Because he sacrificed his life trying to get Matthew to, mm-hmm. to, you know.
Yeah, this is a weird story because they kill all the principal cast and yeah. then fix it. It was kind of like a reverse Days of Future Past, I guess, in a way. But
of course, you know, then you think about everything that Eva has been through and the fact that she opts to go that route. You feel like she knows the consequences, or she knows what the consequences could be, and has weighed the consequences and still thinks it's the right thing to do. It's not just a kid who has time travel powers making a brash decision. It's an informed decision yeah. by a superhero. To make a tough call, and she lived it. And that's what I really liked about the timing of the annuals that told her backstory during that little time skip that she was in, and, you know, how it ends, where she's kind of going to be Cyclops' conscience for a little bit, it seems
She had
like.
A crush on him there for a while.
Well, right, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But everyone did.
It's true. Maria Hill has a crush on him. Even.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So...
She comes back in the future and she hates him.
I did like that part with Maria Hill where, well, either I've just started the war with the mutants or they're going to send me the biggest flower basket known to mankind when Scott gets killed.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oops. That was some shit. Blow him up. I was like, well, this can't be fucking... is going to get changed really quick.
Well, yeah.
Because I can't believe that. They're not going to do that in Uncanny. Yeah. Well, I overall enjoyed these runs so far.
Oh, yeah. There hasn't been a full step in Uncanny yet.
Yeah. It's been good throughout. I mean, of course, it's, you know, people that hate it. They're, still, but
yeah, people don't really like that book.
Yeah, people really like fucking hate it.
Don't like it all.
Yeah, people really. But what's okay? Here's what's interesting about Uncanny is like, you see a lot of people shit all over like Bendis fucking sucks and Uncanny fucking sucks and Cyclops fucking sucks and blah blah blah. But then I go on, you know, well shit, I can't say this on air. Whatever. I go on Reddit. That's the hardest code to find. It's gone in like 45 seconds. Someone posts, I have an Uncanny X-Men code to buy. It's the first one gone every time. And like Deadpool's still up there. Avengers is still up there. Like all this. All that shit is up there every time. Uncanny's gone in seconds. I don't know. Maybe people are just not admitting it and reading it on their own.
I don't know.
If you know what I mean. But I, you know, I mean, that's not a foolproof gauge, obviously, but. I think that says a little bit of something.
It's a cool book.
Yes, very much.
And All New isn't the disaster I expected it to be, but it has had a couple of stories where it's like, oh my god, isn't this over yet? Like, the ultimate one isn't the only one. I'm trying to think of the other.
Yeah, it was very... They were very long. Very long.
Yeah, I think that book's more obviously written for the trade.
The Trial Drinker.
Yeah.
That was one of them, but I can't entirely blame them on that, because Bendis has no fucking clue who the Guardians of the Galaxy are.
No.
Like, no one's saying that book is good.
No, not at all.
Well, no, I take that back. There was someone who told me they thought that the Venom retcon thing wasn't that dumb, and I'm like, yeah, okay. But, the symbiotes are secretly a good species, and it's just that... The only other symbiotes anyone's ever encountered were, like, the prison planet of symbiotes, and they're the fucking Green Lantern Corps. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they fix the Venom one, so it's cool with Flash now, and they don't fight anymore. Whatever. I'm glad that, like, a three-year-old is dictating the direction of these characters. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Well, I guess that's it. Congrats to Bendis for continuing to surprise me on
me too.
X-Men. Sometimes.
Who would have known?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, Guardians is a hot mess, and I never thought he was good for Avengers ever.
No. And I think but it's because, like I said, you know, he was writing Avengers like they were the X-Men. So
it is funny that he takes Matthew to get breakfast, and I'm like, oh my god, that's such a fucking Bendis thing.
Right.
But then Magic was like, what, you waitress. Actually, yeah, I'm not your waitress.
But it's like Bendis people always sit around a table and eat or whatever. They always go get lunch or something. Like, I think the story where he brought Wasp back from the dead or whatever, like, Thor, Iron Man, and Captain America, and maybe Hank Pym disappear in the park, and Spider-Man and, like, you know, Hawkeye, and like, Spider-Man's like, you guys want to go get some cronuts? Like, next thing is, like, them sitting in the mansion eating cronuts. So sadly, we must leave you guys, but in the wait between episodes, there's always things for you guys to do, such as go to our website at www.planbanter.com, home of Plan Banter. You can find us on Twitter at Plan Banter, and you can email us at planbanter@gmail.com. We also have a Facebook page, facebook.com/planbanter. Go like us. And while you're liking us on there, why don't you go like Chris Kinzel Photography? And everyone be sure to check out the Twitter for Chris's photography, at Kinzel Photos. You know, if you want to listen to some music, you can find Jason's band, Clinch, at Clinch Band, and clinchmusic.com and reverbnation.com/clinch, and also facebook.com/clinch. You can also find our friends, Engineer Nerd, of tvandfilmtoys.com. You can find them on Twitter, at Engineer Nerd, and you can also listen to them on the Action Figure Blues podcast, which is found at actionfigureblues.com. You can follow them on Twitter, at AFBlues. Our friend Grey Matter Splat, Agra, at Grey Matter Splat. Our friend David, at FakeEyes22. Our friend Lemon Juice McGee, at Lemon Juice McGee. And our very special pal, Newton Gimmick, at Newton Gimmick, him of InfiniteHollywood.com, and a sometimes contributor to UnderscoopFire.com. Shazam!